Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio.
Yeah, let's.
This is the craziest thing I've seen. There was no way to connect to the show. The button that's normally there, I'm going to unplug my microphone here. The thing that's normally there for Direct Connect wasn't there. I logged in several times. It still wasn't there. It's still not there now. I had to call my own show and do this whole show by cell phone. Bill, are you there? Hey, Bill. Hello, Bill. Bill? Bill Fecky. Why can't I hear you, Bill? Where's Bill? Bill should be live. I can't hear a thing. All right, hang on. Let's try Bill's theme and see if I can hear that at least.
Hold on tight. Action Radio presents the Fecky Report.
Are you there, Bill? Hello, Bill. Why can't I hear Bill? I'm on speaker. I should be able to hear. Oh, Bill's gone. I guess it's just me. I don't know where he went. I don't even know if I'm broadcasting right now. So let me play you something here while I'm waiting to see if I can get a message to Bill.
Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com.
Hey, Bill, are you there?
I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Hello.
Well, we had the. Okay, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Bill? Okay, good. All right.
Yeah.
We had some technical.
Oh, we got a huge delay.
Oh, we do? Well, I'm on my cell phone.
This isn't going to work today.
Well, something's wrong. The only thing I can think of is to end this episode and try starting a new one. See, they never got me the Direct Connect button. You know, I couldn't start the show, so I had to call in manually and see if we can do it that way. So you can't – how long's the delay?
I don't know. Let's see here. I'll start counting.
I'm waiting.
I was hoping you'd say something. I was hoping you'd say something.
No, I think
let's start now. Okay, so after you're done hearing me talk – go ahead and just start talking so that way I can kind of count and see what the delay is.
Okay, here we go. I am talking, and let's get a little time
check okay.
here. I think it's immediate. I think it's immediate.
Yeah, that's a little bit better. I counted about 2 or 3 seconds in between.
Huh. Well, maybe it's that way all the time. We'll find out. Maybe we can use that pod. Pianki's on the line now. Let's see what Pianki says. And I might, like I say, I might have to start the episode over. Pianki, can you hear
yes,
us at all?
Yes, go ahead and have the show. Yeah, go ahead and continue
right.
with the show. You know.
Okay, good. I'm on cell phone. Yeah. So again, for those that are listening in, there was no
you
direct
go back
connect
to
button.
The normal
no,
way if you want.
No, I don't think so. There's no direct connect button. There's nothing to connect me. But there's nothing to put my microphone to.
Why don't you
open up another browser
and re-sign in and see if it shows up there.
Oh, I've done that 3 times already. I've closed it off and logged in 3 different times. There's something that's just not it's a technical thing. I can plug my mic back in, but it wasn't doing anything. It wasn't connected at all. I don't stay on the cell phone. Anyway, Bill, we'll just do what we normally do. We'll just carry on and hope for the best. At least the buttons are working. So I got that going. So tell me the news, and I'll get a few more books under my cell phone so it's like a microphone, and let's chat.
All right, so obviously we're less than a month away from the primaries here in Florida. Everything is ramping up everything's going crazy right now. I had a whole list of stuff to talk about today. I had all my notes with all my data, and I left it. so we're going to – I have to wing it today, just like you do every day.
Welcome to live radio, Bill. Listen, I can't even connect to my own microphone. Yeah, I know how you feel. It's one of those days. Did we do something wrong? It's a nice day out there. It's not a harmonic convergence or the planets misaligning. I don't know what's going on. I'm just glad that yesterday – We got to Maj Touré, and we were able to have a really good show with him. But today, who knows? Man, we'll just do what we do. So anyway, so what's going on in politics? Give me your gut feeling.
All right. So last night I attended the Irish Politicians Club Candidate Forum. This is at the for those of you who live in the Pensacola area or have been to Pensacola, you've been to most likely you've been to McGuire's at some point. And in the back room of
Tell me about the Irish. It was a great time. Tell me about the politics of Ireland. Huh? Should be wonderful. Grand, man. Very grand. Sorry.
So most of them are not even Irish, which is always the funniest part. This organization is kind of the who's who in Pensacola. And they kind of make all the decisions in this back room. And then once every election cycle, they bring in their candidates, whatever races they're racing, and they bring in their opponents. And it's a kind of a showcase to say, hey, look, this is what you're getting, you know, to all their friends. And really, that's all this is. Rick Outzen was the moderator for the event, who's the most boringest guy on radio there is. And
You think they asked me to host one of these events, but no. No, I just, you know, I speak to the world, but I can't speak to my local area. It's fascinating. Last time I spoke, I got kicked off stage. Yeah. They got a great, really great track record with me. Yeah, yeah.
So it was a bunch of softball questions that everyone already knew the answers to, and it was just basically a complete waste of time. Some of the candidates barely even took it seriously. It was just it had a lot to be desired. We'll just leave it at that. It was just a social event for all the politicians to kiss up and kiss the rings of all the kingmakers in the room.
Yeah. So
developer.
Who was asking the question? By Rick, what's his name? Is he the columnist for the Partial News Journal next door in Pensacola?
So Rick Outzen has his the Independent News. Independent News. Yeah, real boring guy. He's a Democrat, and he wouldn't even have a job if it wasn't for this Irish Politician Club's people supporting him. The guy's boring on radio. He doesn't do fact-checking at all. All he does is push their agenda, and so therefore they pay him to do it. Complete waste of time and effort, but it's one of those things that, you know, if you want to be in politics, you have to go to this event. I went to the event just to kind of support Mike Hill because I'm helping him on his campaign this year.
Uh-huh. Is he coming on the show?
So that, you know, I think he will at some point.
Okay. I mean, the primary's in a month.
Yeah, well, yes, it is.
Michelle Fox is coming. So, you know, I want to offer Mike the chance. So Michelle's coming on. She was on last time. Couple of years ago before the primary.
Yeah.
So she'll be on hopefully the next couple of weeks. She'll be my guest. But Mike, you know, Mike used to be on my show all the time, you know, back at WBY.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when that ended, a lot of people just sort of disappeared. Mike's one of them. And it's like, guys, I didn't go anywhere. I just moved to Blog Talk. I'm still here.
Yep, and exactly. But, you know, we got a lot of great stuff coming up here over the next couple of weeks here locally. This coming Thursday, I'll be moderating the U.S. Congress debate at Pensacola City Hall. That starts at 10:30 Thursday morning.
That's right into my doctor's panel. Ah, damn, that'd be fun. So Gates is going to be there. Who else is there?
Of course, Gates won't be there. Matt Gaetz does not make appearances in Pensacola, and he does not show up to candidate forums unless it's a TV audience. And Studio 850, which does the online and gets about 5,000 to 10,000 views, that's not enough for Matt Gaetz to show up. And then Rebecca Jones, who is the top Democrat going up against him, is not coming, which I'm not surprised by that. That's definitely not her crowd. But I will give credit to the other Democrat whose name is escaping me. I want to say Peggy Fleming sounds familiar for some reason, but I might be wrong.
No, that's
but there's another.
Peggy Fleming's an Olympic ice skater.
Yes,
she's
you're right.
Olympic ice skater. Yeah. That's why it sounds
there's
familiar.
There's someone in that. Probably why, but no, there's a Democrat out of Niceville, I think, or Fort Walton, Destin area, who is running for Congress also. She's a Democrat. She says she'll show up. Your favorite person, Greg Merk, will be there. And then,
oh, I
want to
get him on the show
really,
so badly. He can't answer a question. Oh, God, the man's incompetent. It's hysterical. You know, you heard about our incident, right? For anybody
yes,
that doesn't
yeah.
know.
It's well documented.
Yeah, well, just to let folks know, I asked Greg Merk. He's a fabulous Air Force pilot. You know, he's a really competent guy, but he doesn't do politics very well. And people think that, and this is a problem in our area because we have so many military people. People think that just because you've been in the military, you know, that translates well to investigating, you know, the federal government in an oversight hearing, and it doesn't. It doesn't at all, because if you're following orders, you know, you've got to switch places and start to investigate the people issuing the orders, and that's a whole different thing. But what happened was I asked Greg a couple of questions on his Facebook page, and his minions immediately jumped on me, saying, nobody in Congress has to know that. These are like basic economics, foreign policy, real simple stuff, right? I said, okay, fine. So I asked him 20 more questions, and then they really got after me. And so I'd love to have him on the show just to continue our discussion. He won't do it. He's incapable of answering a direct question. So, you know. Hey, I stand by the fact that he won't be here. I wish he would. You know, the opportunity's there.
really the top competitor in this race is Mark Lombardo. He's a former Marine. He was an executive.
Yeah, I bet they retired Marine. Retired Marine.
Yeah, you're right. I keep forgetting about that. Well, I don't like using the word retired unless I know for a fact that they did retire. Don't remember if they did retire or not. So there is a difference.
Maybe in the form.
Yeah.
I want him on the show, too.
But Marines hate being called former Marines because they feel that once a Marine, always a Marine. So I really don't know how to introduce it.
Well, here's another guy. Here's a perfect example of someone that says, you know, I think that, you know, because I've been a Marine, I'd be good in Congress. And the two are not relatable. I mean, yes, you could be. I'm sure he was a fabulous
Marine.
But that doesn't mean you'd be good in Congress. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Because I got a point on him that's going to, I think you'll find interesting. Go ahead.
Okay. Because I'm going to slam your whole concept down on him because he's also a former executive at FedEx. So he does have executive experience. So, he started off as a pilot. Yeah. And that's what we need right now. Yeah, well, business is exactly what we need in Congress. I think President Trump showed that more than anything else, that is, you know, if you have business experience, that's how you're going to get the country back running. Because if you treat it like a business, it'll run.
What made Trump great was that he had vision. That he loves this country and he cared about this country. There's a lot of great business people out there that don't have that same patriotic spirit. Trump was separated because of his vision, and I don't see Lombardo having any vision whatsoever. And so unless you have vision, and the same thing goes for Greg Merk and Chris Joseph, the other who were fabulous in the military. I mean, you know, God love them for their service. But it doesn't translate well to Congress, and I can prove that by a simple interview. I'd like to get this guy on the show. And you know, he's running an ad right now. This is what somebody's thinking of this ad. It was on Facebook. I don't know if it's on TV or not, saying that because Matt Gaetz had the lawyer that defended Jeffrey Epstein, then that case is somehow a bad person. And I'm thinking, well, what is it that you're against? People defending themselves? People having a right to a decent attorney? If an attorney, I mean, who was it? Dershowitz defended one of the Von Bulows. Remember that murder trial? And, you know, I think he got off someone who we all thought did it, right? Now, does that make Alan Dershowitz a bad person? Does that make anybody that Alan Dershowitz represents a bad person? Everybody's entitled to a defense. I don't care how scummy you are. I don't care how guilty you are. You know, you still deserve a defense and hopefully a conviction.
Well, okay,
you
know. So I've seen that same commercial, and that was my first thought also. But I understand where he was going with this, even if I don't agree with it. Is the fact that, okay, so usually if you have a dirty attorney, he usually represents dirty people. I mean, that's just the way it goes. And if he's able to get one person, you know, one person off who's guilty, well, then the next person who knows he's guilty, you know, it's that guilt by association, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
We don't do that. We have presumption of innocence. And if he doesn't understand that basic constitutional principle, why the hell is he running for Congress? That's my question.
First of all, it's politics, and it's all about mudslinging. And it's been proven fact that mudslinging works a lot better than telling the truth and about
only
yourself.
When you
and that's always
no
been
substance.
Fact.
Only when you have no substance. Yeah, I agree, mudslinging works, because most people are idiots when it comes to politics. But that's our job to clear that up. So if he has no basic understanding of the Constitution, if he does not know how our freedoms work, if he does not know just the basic Bill of Rights, the rights of the accused, you know, if he doesn't understand that, he has no business in Congress, because he's going to be responsible for voting on laws. You know, as the famous line from the movie First Night with Sean Connery, there are laws that oppress men and there are laws that set them free. Okay, I'm not somebody who's going to be there to vote on the laws that set us free, not the laws that oppress us. And that's what they're doing.
Well, tell you what. Turn on Facebook Studio 850 at 10:30 on Thursday morning. Yeah. I've lined up some incredible questions. It's going to get those answers. Yeah. I am not sitting. I do not pull punches the way that all these other moderators are doing. We're not doing softball questions.
You wouldn't be on my show if you did.
There's going to be questions about the 9th and 10th Amendment. It's more of a trick question to see if they actually know what it is.
Well, no, you don't have to trick them. See, these people are generally constitutionally incompetent. Now, I can't watch it because I'll be doing my world's greatest doctor panel. But I know Studio 850.
Well, you'll be able to watch a replay. It will be on replay. You can just click on Studio 850 anytime you want. It'll be there. Yeah. So it's going to be very interesting. I'm going to ask them about it. You know, in case they're listening, they're going to get two free questions right now. You know your 9th and 10th Amendment, and are you going to prosecute the politicians who funded and bailed out the BLM and Antifa protesters back from 2020? Mm-hmm. If you're willing to put on trial the January 6th people, then you have to also put those politicians on trial for inciting riots and causing billions of dollars of damage to private citizens.
Yeah, that's a good question. Hey, let me give you two if you can choose to ask them or not. My question would be, is any gun control constitutional under the Second Amendment? Any gun control constitutional? And that includes the National Firearms Act. That includes the 1968 Gun Control Act.
Already got it.
That includes everything. So is any gun control constitutional under the Second Amendment? Second question is, would we be better off with a constitutional amendment taking away the power of Congress to borrow money?
Ooh, I like that one.
Oh, that's one of our bills.
No, I like that one. I just like the way that it's presented. I kind of presented it in a little bit overly elaborate way, but, you know, something basic and simple like that is good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we have another bill on government disarmament. I don't want to get that because you already have a Second Amendment question. But another question would be, where in the Constitution does it say that the Supreme Court can interpret the Constitution?
Right.
And, of course, it doesn't. There is no such clause. Or here's another good question for you. Where is it stated in the Constitution that there is a separation of church and state?
That's one of my questions already.
Okay, good. So, like I said, this is why you're on the show.
Okay, so,
you're asking all the right stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get Bianchi. Hey, Bianchi, I got no.
Hold on one second. So, the way that our format works at the Women for Responsible Legislation, I always create a bunch of questions up front because sometimes the people in the audience are kind of shy to do questions. So I have a bunch of questions, but then people email, they text message, people in the audience will write down questions. And so I kind of go ahead and, it's not strictly my questions that will be asked. And if I see like a popular question being asked, which I know one of the popular questions that will be asked this time will be about gay marriage. We already know that I know with this crowd that will be one of the hot topics. So I'll probably have to cross off one of my questions and ask that question because that will be a very popular question that'll be asked, even if it's something that is kind of.
Bianchi, go ahead.
Well, gay marriage falls into the area of where Congress shall not respect the religion, because marriage was a religious ordained nation. And if your Bible, if the Bible speaks against same sex, this, that, and the other, then if you, Congress have the ability, and what they have done with the Supreme Court acknowledging same sex, and by the way, Ginsburg and Kagan should have recused themselves from that decision because they had performed a same sex marriage. But no, the federal government has nothing to do with marriage. Federal government has nothing to do with you people, the militia. You are the militia. You're not the National Guard. You are the militia. And also the Constitution says that your state and local ballots can be separate from the federal ballot.
Correct. So going back to the marriage, I just want to talk about the marriage thing for a second, because I've never believed that the government should never be involved in marriage. And the only reason, and this is a personal opinion, I have no facts to back this up, except for common sense, I guess, is the only reason why government is involved in marriage is because the insurance companies made them get involved with marriage, because insurance companies just refuse to insure partners, for just to use the word partners, or boyfriends or girlfriends. They just refuse to do it, and so therefore government had to get involved, and for life insurance, it all evolves around insurance is why the government got involved with marriage to begin with. That and the fact that
now
they just wanted more money and they figure they could tax it.
There's a bigger reason. Marriage is a contract. And when that contract is ended, you have divorce. And when you have divorce, you have equity, you have property, you have child custody, you have a million things that have to be done. Marriage is not a right. And you should ask them this too. Is marriage a right? Well, if marriage is a right, then everybody's guaranteed to be married to anybody they want. And obviously that's insane. But marriage is a contract. And as a contract, it cannot be a right because it involves two people, because it takes two people to make a contract. So since marriage isn't a right, how can gay marriage be a right? And the answer is it can't.
Correct, but and this is like
what?
Said,
what do you mean correct?
Discussion. Okay, no.
Some great argument.
Well, you did. No, it is a great argument. But so we had this discussion yesterday at the office. But no. So my theory on this is that if you did not have the government involved, it forced you to sign a piece of paper to be married, and that you just went about it like they used to do in the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, early 1900s. We had less divorces because you spent time with the, you actually went.
Because there were dead.
Wait, well, that too. anyways.
But you
invested. You actually invested because you did not know that there was a legal out. And you invested time and effort. And nowadays, I think gold diggers. Gold diggers are a great example of why government needs to get out of marriage. These gold diggers will marry someone and then divorce them in 2 years once they know they could They've invested enough time to steal all the people's money, all the guys' money, mm-hmm. or girls' money, depending on who the gold digger is.
Yeah, it works both ways now. That's so that women are earning money.
Yeah,
you know?
It does work both ways. Yeah. And if you get government out of this, you know, basically you're taking whatever you got into it and then leaving with it, and then and you still have common law marriage, you know, after 7 years. So if you did invest mm-hmm. 7 years into a relationship, yeah, you are going to get you're still going to get something in return, whether you're married or not. And I think that would eliminate a lot of stuff.
It's still a contract. Yeah, no, it's still a contract.
Don't
think because there's bad law regarding marriage, there should be no law regarding marriage. That's the difference. We need to make better laws regarding marriage. And palimony after 2 years is insane. Go ahead, Bianchi.
You can marry a foreign spouse in that country, and this government will recognize that, even to the point where you can declare them as a dependent on your tax withholding.
Yep.
Even though you didn't marry here. And the reason why it's a legal marriage is because it was legal in the society in which it happened. You can't disrespect another society's views on what it takes to be married. Now, of course, now they don't have to recognize you having 3 and 4 and 5 wives because of the contractual deals with that. But no, government has no business interfering with people's marriages as long as it's legal in the society where it's going on.
Okay, yeah, that's really great Bianchi. I have a follow-up question to this. So Bianchi, so if I marry an Afghan, in Afghanistan, I can have multiple wives. So I turn around, I married 10 women in Afghanistan. In America, I can't write off all 10 of them as dependents.
No, you can only write off one. But as far as that society is concerned, the United States has nothing to do with that society, but they do recognize that one, even though she has never been in the United States.
Right. Oh, yeah, no, that's been the law for a long time. And the funny part is it's not reciprocated in most of these countries. If you marry someone here in America, a lot of times the country that they're from will not recognize it unless you kind of almost have to jump through hoops and to do it. And you have to notify them also. You know, it's not an automatic thing where the U.S. government will turn around, you know, like, for example, my wife's a Filipino. I mean, she's a U.S. citizen. She's a dual citizen, U.S. citizen, and then a Filipino citizen secondary. When we got married, it's not like the United States sends the marriage certificate to the Philippine embassy. In the eyes of the Philippines, she's still a single woman. But yet in America, it's not like that. You know, if you get married, that notification goes right to America immediately.
Yeah, well, that's the Philippines. That's that society, the Philippines society. But what I'm saying is this. You can go into a country and marry a female, and if the marriage is legal in that society, the United States government will recognize that. Now,
correct, yeah.
Right. You can declare her as a dependent on your income tax, even though she's never been in the country.
Correct.
We're going to end up here pretty quickly here. I'll actually give a couple of minutes because we got a little shortchanged because we had technical difficulties. But this is yet another reason why marriage has to remain in law, a man and a woman sanctioned by God, licensed by the state, you know, because international law has such a key in this. And those people that are trying to create some new right of quote, gay marriage, you know, when you've got something that's a totally different structure, a totally different relationship, therefore deserves a totally different term. I don't care if you use gay union or domestic partnership. I think gay union makes more sense. But the point is, it's not a marriage. And to call it that, you know, screws around not only with our language, with our law, but everybody else's law in the world. And so there's no reason for this to happen. So Bianchi raises a really good point, and that gets forgotten, that marriage means something not only here, but it means something worldwide and has meant something for thousands of years. Let's get Wendy in on this. I bet she's got a point to make. Wendy, what do you think?
Well, you know, all I'm going to do is tell you what God says, because he's the final authority, and he said, you know, he made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it is a – between a man and a woman, because there is there's blessing in it. You multiply. There's blessing in the multiplication, and God is not about taking away. He's about giving. And, you know, people always say, well, you know, love is love. Well, I'm sorry, God doesn't call it love. He calls it perversion. And, you know, there's, and if you have a problem with that, well, take it up with God, you know. I'm just telling you, you know, I got to stand with what God says. And, you know, he cannot bless something that doesn't multiply. You know, it is not, and the biggest thing is it isn't holy. He calls it unholy and an abomination in his eyes. And so I wouldn't be messing with it. You know, you don't mess with family and you don't mess with the institution of marriage, because those two things are extremely important to God.
But Wendy, didn't you hear the science? Men can get pregnant now.
And I call it BS.
Well, Wendy, you have a good rest of the show. I got to go earn my dollar for today, so you guys have a good show, okay?
Okay. You
Thanks,
too.
Though. Sorry about the difficulty here. Yeah. We had a little problem. I'm on my cell phone, obviously. In fact, Wendy, your line's a little, you might as well speak up just a touch, I'm not sure, but it's one of those days. There was just no direct connect button. I could not connect to my own show, so that's what we're doing on my cell phone today. Let's get Wendy seen, and away we go.
Here we go. Do you really want the truth? Do you have questions you can't ask in church? Welcome to the Oh My God Report. Wendy Arthur is more concerned with truth than propaganda, putting more value in scripture than religion, and more about you and your relationship with God than your membership in any church. This is Christianity with a Kick.
I'll tell you, there's nothing stranger than hearing your own voice come out of a cell phone. That's just weird. Okay, so I'm listening. It's one thing on my headphones, because I understand that. I'm part of the radio show. But just to hear, it's like I'm talking, you hear the expression talking to yourself. It's like, oh, boy, that was freaky. Anyway, so what's God telling us today?
There are so many topics to cover. It is not even funny. It has just been one crazy week.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure we
got to keep up with all the things that are going on. You know, this is just one week among many. But yeah, so where should we start?
Oh Lord, well I figured this would be a potpourri. So, Pianki, good morning. I'm glad you're around this morning. I always enjoy talking to you, and welcome to all of our listeners around the world. But if anybody has a question, please call in, or if you have a comment or a topic that you would really want to focus on today, call in, because I've got so many things in my head about everything that's going on this week.
Okay. We have live
chat. I'm like loaded gun.
Live chat. Yeah. So we'll start with the most important kind of – we have live chat. People can type in messages, too, worldwide. And so I'm trying to get more people to use that, especially when they can't. Yeah, so we got everything. We have a Skype line. People can call directly to our Skype line. It goes directly to the studio. That's going to get bigger as we get bigger internationally. So we're going to start to have a lot more, I think, calls from Australia, New Zealand, Canada, England, because those are where the audiences are picking up really fast. So, yeah.
Okay.
So hang in there. You know, the masses are going to multiply really fast. Well, just a little quick side note. I don't know if you heard our show with Maj Touré yesterday, but it looks like he's going to be helping with all our gun legislation and carrying that to gun groups and the national media and the public and everywhere else. So we made a huge advancement yesterday and got ourselves a new friend. So I'm really happy. So that's a little action.
I am too. I think that's great because, you know, we really need to fight against all this gun control, because it's not really about gun control, because now it's about who can have the guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this red flag law thing, it's not mm-hmm. about who has guns anymore, because too many people have guns. It's about who is allowed to have them, because all they have to do is say, oh, all these right-wing conservatives are mentally ill and they don't need to have guns, and all of a sudden you're red flagged and they come get them. So it's just, we really, really need to fight against the control of the people and who has it, not necessarily the gun control, because that's just a diversion.
Well, therein,
Yeah, go ahead.
There, in fact, lies the mental illness right there. For someone to think that you don't have the right to have something, that is the mental illness. It's not you. It's them.
Well, there is a big hunk of truth in that. But the fact remains, you know, that both 47 Rhino Republicans helped the Democrats pass the red flag laws.
Well, that's the unifying.
So,
you know, there is the deep state.
It gets back to the position where you need to get rid of.
And then there's that. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to get rid of.
You need to get rid of them. Yep. I posted their name.
You know the only state. You know the only states that don't allow you to recall your officials is Mississippi. Not even say the only one, but South Carolina and Mississippi does not have provisions for its citizens to recall its elected officials. Then there's a question out there that they want to pose to the courts. Do citizens have a right to recall their federal elected officials? Which is really asinine
yes,
to
do.
Me.
But having lived in Mississippi, they probably don't really need the recall law because they will find a barn to take them behind if it gets really bad. Mississippi don't play.
little direct justice there. Well, you know, what does the Bible say about this? You know, because control is a mental illness. The desire to control other people is, I think, truly sick. And the fact that most of the people in government want to control other people, you know, should disqualify them from government service because they're fundamentally mentally incapable of adjudicating government properly, which is to protect freedom, not take it away. And so there's got to be some
all throughout
control.
Well, throughout the Bible, you will see that when kings were taken out by other kings all the time, and governments were overthrown. You know, this is nothing new under the sun. And, you know, we had a takeover. We had a hostile takeover in our last election.
Well, that was the question I forgot to tell Bill. I'll tell Bill. I'll get him after the show. But, you know, I would ask those people running for Congress, he's going to go host next week, you know, do you know that or what are you going to do about the fact that our government was stolen in a coup? And see what they say. I mean, put it in the positive. The government was stolen in a coup. What are you going to do about it when you get to Congress? You know, let them squirm a while.
Well, yeah, because they're going to go, I don't have a plan to fix that. And because what is the point of voting? If they're going to go out and print their own votes and count them and stuff the ballot boxes, what is the point in voting?
Yep. Well, this is the nice thing about Action Radio. We sort of transcend a lot of stuff. Like, I don't care what party's in power. I do care about the vote. Don't get me wrong there. But what I'm saying is there's an alternate way to fight for our freedom besides just the vote. You know, it's like Kristi Noem, as much as I love her as governor of South Dakota, she said the way that the people consent to being governed is on election day. And I'm like, no, the way we consent to being governed is every day.
No,
she got a little bit wrong there. Yeah,
because the people's consent got taken away on election day.
Exactly.
And the 3 days afterwards that they required.
Yep. So there is no power to consent if the vote does not exist. So we are basically taking our power to consent by writing the laws that we consent to be governed by. We're still going through the legislative process, but we can put a whole lot of pressure on them. And that's where the vote does come into play. And part of the pressure is to make sure that the vote is legal. Yeah.
Well, and even outside of the vote, because now, you know, the latest thing for the vaccines is that they are now going to request funding to do new vaccines that are not subject to all the variants that it transforms into. And I'm thinking, you cannot even say that. Nobody, and they flat out, you know, admit that the vaccines did not work like they intended it to. And even with boosters, it's just not effective.
Actually, they
because
did. They made everybody take them. They worked exactly as intended. They all made money.
Well, but the point is they're saying now that they have to have more money to come up with a vaccine that isn't that can work even with all the variants that come out. And I'm thinking, No, because you already admit that the first vaccines didn't work as they should. So now you're going to want people to experiment even more and have us spend more money on it just so that you can make the money and then say, oh, yeah, okay, we got it now. It's going to work. And then all of a sudden, oh, oops, no, this round didn't work either. Yet you've got all this stuff in your body that you have no idea how it's going to react or what it's going to do. So, yeah, no, it's time for people to stand up and say, no, absolutely not. And
absolutely.
You're not going to do this, and you can't make us, because we
absolutely.
Only have so many jails.
You
know?
Are
so,
absolutely right. Wendy, play some music, Rick.
Play some music?
Why?
What she said is dead on. Play some music. Give her a big applause.
Oh, we definitely give her. Let me scroll. Let's do this here. Let's give her a little. This is for you, Wendy. Where is it going to go? Come on. There we go.
Action Radio, dedicated to fixing everything.
And that's what you do. That's for you, Wendy.
That's awesome. I do want to tell people that, you know, some of the prophetic voices that the trusted ones have been talking about and addressing is silence, that there's going to be a silence and for a short time. But people will be scared because even though God has not spoken specifically what the silence is, the feeling is there will be loss of communication, both cell phone and internet for a while, because they're using that to create mass fear and chaos. So I want people to be aware of that's on the horizon. And to make plans with your family ahead of time. You know, if we can't communicate, how are we going to get together? How are we going to make sure that we're all okay and, you know, have a meeting place or some kind of alternative way to get in touch with family? Because, you know, mail is not going to do it. And I'm not sure what else is going to be involved in that. But I just kind of want to throw that out there for people to start thinking about and being prepared for. Because even if it's just a few days or a few weeks, I mean, you know, people depend on their phones for absolutely everything. You're still going to have power, I assume, on your phone. So what I did is I took screenshots of all the different legs of, you know, places from where my kids live to our house. And I sent it to them so they can keep it as pictures on their phone. Because, you know, they grew up in an era where they have no idea what an atlas or a roadmap is. So, I mean, they've heard of them. I'm sure that they could look at them in a museum.
Well, I was just thinking the answer to this is us folks that actually got along with rotary dials and picked up the phone not knowing who was there, doing all kinds of reading maps, of going to a library, of using the Dewey Decimal System. You know, I mean, we actually look things up. So in many ways, you know, those of us who can read a compass, look at a map, you know, those basic skills, they should still be taught to people. You know, so that's part of the challenge. But we'll still, you know, and I'm not one because Josie does this all the time. You know, the plan's coming up. We're going to arrest all these people and everything's going to happen. And not one of her predictions come true, not one. And so she used to give dates as to when these things would happen and stopped doing that because none of them came true. I'm not a big, you know, ever since Y2K, oh, the world's going to shut down. The world's going to reset. Oh, really? And what happened? Nothing. So I'm not big on prediction because why would they do that? Why would the commercial just give up all that advertising and revenue money by having the phones down?
Well, I'm just saying it's a possibility. I'm not because if God didn't say this is a specific thing, I'm not saying it's a specific thing. I'm saying it could be because all he said is get ready for the silence.
We've got a silence. We've got censorship, you know, big tech, the internet. Used to be the place where you could find anything, and now we find out that not only is it easy to put things on the internet, apparently it's pretty easy to take them off too. You know, so there's your silence. Okay.
Well, that's one form of that, I guess.
To go back.
But,
had to go back to CB radios. Breaker, breaker, breaker.
That, there you go. You know, yeah. A ham radio or something. But anyway, just wanted to throw that out there because, you know, it's
all
just
by
what Christian prophets are talking about right now. And what about what?
Well, landlines. I want to get a landline again just in case. Besides, I like talking on them. They're fun. They were comfortable. The cell phone is ridiculous. It's got radiation.
Well.
So it's never up to my head. It's on a stack of books and other papers right now. It's got, you know, so it's like having a microphone on a cell phone.
Okay. Well, I will tell you, Kim Clement, he was an amazingly accurate prophet. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But stuff that he had been prophesying years ago, I mean, like in 2012, 2014, mm-hmm. are just now coming about. So
like what?
You know, God doesn't help. Well, like when back in, I think it was 2012, he said Trump would be president. And that was before anybody even thought about Trump as anything but a business mogul, you know. And he said he would have two terms. So, you know, he's in the second term now. He's just not in office.
Well, see, that's one of the questions I want to Bill to ask of these people, you know, running for Congress. What are you going to do to overturn the coup? You know, and here's the thing, too. Now, how does this figure, too, Wendy, in terms of Scripture and how God looks at this? You've got a collective psychosis going on. I mean, anybody that says President Biden is lying. Some of them know it. Most of them don't. Who succeeds? Because people say the words. And it becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy. Everybody hears it all the time. You know, I was going to put a posting up on Facebook. Anybody who says President Biden on the news can't be trusted. And they can't. And that includes my favorite now, One American News. They're actually saying it. You notice we never say that on this show. And if anybody does, depending on who they are, I'll let them get away with it. But for the most part, no. You can't say that because there's an ongoing investigation of the coup. Nothing's been proven. We still haven't finished January 6th. We still haven't had our approval of the Trump electors over the Biden frauds. You know, so there is this, we're in limbo right now. We don't have a government.
And you have the perfectly, you know, innocent law-abiding citizens still in jail for January 6th. You know, although we've let terrorists out of, you know, getting out, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything's backwards. This is my theory that everything, you know, and then when the backwards becomes backwards, it gets really crazy. The Second Amendment has been reversed. The government has all the guns and they want to disarm the people. You know, freedom has been reversed. Yes. The government can do whatever they want, and the people get thrown in jail. You know, the free flow of information.
We have been in bondage for so long.
Pardon?
I said we have been in bondage for so long. We are in slavery to the government, and that because we've been taught that this is normal, we don't know we are being oppressed. We don't know that we're in bondage. We have started to see that.
Right.
A lot of people are starting to wake up to that since, you know, Biden got, you know, the rent-free space in the Oval Office. But
Biden got coup.
He's not president. in the coup. And that's going to be addressed as well. I'm not going to say anything here about that. But it's
come on.
December. No.
She's teasing us.
December, I'm telling you.
Wendy's got
we will
a secret.
All be
Wendy's got a secret. Nah.
I'm just saying that some things you just need to pray into before you release. But I'm going by – I ran across a Kim Clement prophecy that was really odd, very different, but – definitely from the Lord, and he's been he was addressing things by season, but he was saying strange July for this particular year, strange July, and that timber it will be full of surprises, and there will be a great fall in the fall, and then by December the people will be rejoicing freedom. So I put a lot of trust in, because everything he ever said came to pass. And a lot of people cannot say that. And so I'm just saying that if you're going to listen to prophecy and actually put some stock in it, you know, only follow those who have a proven track record.
People have the power to control their government. They just don't use it. And see, when you
that's
really think about it. Right. if you really think about it, you have to ask yourself the question, why do you vote for mayors, city council, and school board if you're going to depend on the federal government to make all these damn decisions? Federal government shouldn't have no control over you than other than what you let them have over you.
That's right, because it's being run in a way it was never set up to do. And I agree that, you know, everything should belong to each individual state, how you decide to do it. And I don't see a reason for federal government at all the way it's set up right now.
You're absolutely right. There's no need for it at all because they are detrimental to your liberties and freedom. See, like they're talking about these vaccines and they want to mandate. Technically, they cannot mandate you to take a vaccine. You got that liberty in a constitution that's always running. If you ever turn the constitution off, then they disappear. The federal government disappears. Do they realize that? Or do the people realize that?
The people do not realize that. And I think most of the government does not because it's just been so ingrained with the way it has been for so long. They think this is the way it is, and it is not the way it was set up to be. God is not about bondage. He's not about anybody being indentured to somebody else. He gave us free will, and the government's trying to take that away.
Yeah, that's what, and if that is your basis of thought and logic of the will of God, then let it be. They cannot put a judgment, a set of bar, a litmus test on your affiliations with your God. That's your business. But the most important thing is that their business is about your business. How you want it to be and how you think it should be, they should follow. It
comes down to Britain, the spirit of Britain is still trying to take over because our country was founded because we didn't want people telling us how we were going to have a relationship with our God. And you can't tell me what I can believe and what I can't believe, and you're not going to tell me that the state is going to control the church and tell me, you know, where I can gather and who I can't see and who we can't worship with and what the government will allow you to believe or not. And we founded this country on absolute complete freedom, not to include our religious liberties. And we will worship how we want, who, you know, and who we want to. And you don't have to agree with it. And so for us to have fallen so far to say you can't even in California trim your tree. You have to call in a tree expert to trim your tree on your property. And if it's a certain tree, nobody can touch it at all. And or if I want to build a deck on my house, I have to get a permit. Why? If I want to fish, I have to have a permit. Why? I should not have to pay the government to do a normal everyday thing. And last time I looked, they weren't paying the mortgage. And mortgages are bondages too. And because the government is now people the mortgage.
Have you ever looked what mortgage means? Mort is death. It's a death contract.
Yes.
People don't realize what mortgage means. You know, but here's an interesting thing though. Like I've had this argument before. If you have a 300-year-old oak tree on your property, I think that's worth preserving. The tree was there long before you were. And so I think if you buy a property, you know, that has certain things like 300-year-old oak trees, that they should be preserved, that you should work with that tree and keep it there because, you know, it was there long before you were here and it's going to be here long after you're gone, at least from that property. And so this is where I would make a distinction. As for building a deck, go ahead, build all the decks you want. Now, if there's certain safety standards that go into deck making, you know, that's one thing. If they're asking, if you have to ask government permission to build that deck, no, that's wrong. So there's this certain, you know, I see where do your rights begin and other people, you know, it's like a historic district here. We've had this argument too. People say, I can do anything I want with my property. I said, well, you can't destroy a 200-year-old house. That is, yes, it belongs to you because you own the property, but it also belongs to our history, to our culture, to everything else. And that And we have a right to our history. We have a right to our environment. And so there are lines. There are lines. And like I say, and I get in a lot of trouble for this. You know, people say, well, you just believe in big government. I said, oh, give me a break. I wouldn't be doing Action Radio if I believed in big government. But there are things that I think we can do in terms of all our rights. And that's where there are lines in there. There isn't, you know, and that's why I make a distinction.
And that should be decided by the community. Yeah, because if there is a community concern, then being a good neighbor, you know, and Scripture talks about that, you know, be at peace with your neighbor. So if you have an issue with your neighbor, go to your neighbor and see if you can work this out. And if you can't, then go to a few other people and say, look, let's all talk about this, the people in the community. Let's talk about this. What does this mean to you? What does this mean to me? And can we come to a win-win situation compromise? So I don't know anybody who would really just want to go in and willingly take down a 300-year-old oak tree, you know, on their property.
Oh,
I mean,
yes,
they're beautiful.
I've had the call.
But developers will because they want to put up a building in front of it.
I'm sorry.
You're breaking up, Greg.
Uh-oh. No, I was just
saying
we've had arguments about that very thing. Am I still here? I hope I'm still here.
Yeah, you were breaking up for a while.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry, because I was doing something. We have our wellness women who are about to take over the show here. I have to explain to them I'm on my cell phone.
Okay.
I'll figure it out. Anyway, so I don't know what you're going to talk about today. I think we got sidetracked. Sorry.
It's okay. We just go with the flow. That's what we do on Action Radio.
Anyway, so
are you there?
I'm still here. I'm just filling in numbers and different things.
Okay.
Oh, we've got. Can you hear me still or no?
Well, you're breaking up a little bit. I will make room for the next ladies coming on. And thank you, Pianki, and thank you for everybody who's listening. And I bless all y'all's day. And I'm getting you on to the next report.
We got a couple of minutes, but I think what's happening is because I'm on the cell phone, whenever I start pushing buttons, my cell phone signal breaks up. So there's some kind of problem with that. We're still here. We still got a couple. You know, we're still we got one of the folks now. It's looks like we have another one. Oh, okay. Well, let me bring them on. I don't know if you guys want to say hi. We have a new Facebook group that we've started. We have our life coach page, which I've made the life and health coaching page, so we can include with Jean Vernick, Paige Ward, Chancy Terry, and Lindsay Horton. And so that's what's happening now. So Paige is on the line. Have you ever talked to Paige? Paige, why don't you introduce yourself?
Nope.
Hey,
hello.
Paige.
Hi, Greg. I just got
hey.
On. So I'm
Good
not
morning.
Familiar with your.
I didn't hear that. That was kind of.
No, I just got on. Like, I just called in, so I wasn't familiar with your name, but my name is Paige, and it's lovely to meet you.
Hey, nice to meet you too, Paige. Welcome.
All right, now we've got everybody. So I've got Chancy. You're on the line. Hey, Chancy.
Hello. I think me and Paige called in at the exact same time. Of course.
Yeah, we're having a little
difficulty
today. We've got a problem. I'm have to go on the cell phone, and I guess it breaks up whenever I push a button. So let me make Lindsay's line live too. Yeah. Hey, Lindsay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All three of them. This is great. Last week we had Chancy for like half an hour. Now he's got everybody, so this is good. Okay, so let's get your contact information, Wendy. Thank you so much. Again, we had we're a little off schedule, off topic, off everything today. Today's just kind of ugh. Yesterday went so well. We have to make up for it. So I guess today's the day we're doing that.
Yes, if anybody needs to get in touch with me or ask a question or have something that you would like to let me know about, it's Wendy Arthur on Facebook, or you can go to Art by Wendy Arthur or Dimensions Ministries. Either way, just get in touch with me, and I'll be happy to get back with you. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye,
appreciate
Wendy.
It.
You
yeah.
too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I don't have a theme for our women of wellness. I'm going to play Chancy's theme, and I'll make one for you all fairly soon here.
Oh, gosh. Thank you.
What is health? What does it take to stay healthy? We have a longer lifespan than 100 years ago, but is the quality of life any better? 100 years ago, their food was better. They got more exercise. They weren't as fat. They didn't have preservatives, antidepressants, sugar in everything, and they didn't have vaccines. If you talk about alternative healthcare, people think of crystals, incense, strange candles, crystal balls, Ouija boards, notions, potions, lotions, and total hippies telling you to detox, man. So let's change our system of sick care into wellness. Let's get healthy. Let's lower our stress, stop taking in poisons, eat and drink organic, clean food, and let's have a chat with Chancey Terry, because this is Wine, Weed, and Wellness Wednesday.
And our group includes Paige Ward and Lindsay Horton. So, ladies, I like that theme so much.
What?
I'm gonna keep it. It doesn't have all your names on it, so I'll figure something out. Anyway, where should we go this morning? Who wants to start?
We're all very polite people, so we're all probably waiting on each other to speak.
Okay, Chance, why don't you start? I'll make it easy. You spoke
up.
Your fault.
Yeah. No, I just got your article about the serotonin and all that, so I did some research this morning, so if we want to take it that way, we can.
That basically destroyed the antidepressant drug industry, so I wanted to let you explain it to folks, and let me know what you've discovered.
Well, it's one of those things to where it was what we tell people on a daily basis is never one thing. So it doesn't, I mean, hopefully the research that came out will wake people up, but more than likely the people that are on the antidepressants feel like they work, because that's what they're for, is to feel like they work. And I know Lindsay had done some extensive research on this and spoke about it a few weeks ago and about what the actual pills do. But where I come in and where, you know, I guess all of us come in is we're not worried about, I don't know so much as the research, but we're worried about just helping you not be depressed. So how can we address your diet, your environment, what you put on your skin, what you put in your body, and things that you look at that really don't consider could be depressing you. So the main thing that kept coming up was glyphosate, which we've talked about before is Roundup, and it's in all foods. So you look at someone whose diet isn't, they're trying to be clean, or maybe they're avoiding certain things and they're picking out better things at the grocery store, but they're not diving deep really into the brands and where they come from and how they're done. So that would be my first step for people, is to understand that it's never one thing. So yeah, great that they came out with that and said that it doesn't work, but now what? So
really interesting question. Is the drug industry, and I want to get to Lindsay and then Paige, but is the drug industry going to say, okay, well, we goofed on that. We've got another wonder drug. We're going to put, I don't know, Gen X chemical, you know, into your body. Do they have a substitute they're thinking of? Do we go from one drug to another drug? I mean, what are they planning for us, do you think?
No idea, but yes, it's always one drug to another drug. They'll come out with another answer that disproves that theory and then says, well, you still need to stay on your SRIs because it'll cause you to do depression and you'll kill yourself. And so, yeah, that's just articles like that just lead down a rabbit hole, and then somebody else takes it to their doctor, and then the doctor tells them that it's wrong, and then and so I don't really – it's a funny world. It's a funny world. So,
well, this is funny.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't it say on the antidepressants a lot of times that, you know, one of the adverse side effects is suicide and homicide? Isn't that how we had Columbine and these school shooters? Weren't most of them on antidepressants? How many criminals are on antidepressants? How many mass public shooters are on antidepressants? How many people like that teenager who attacked the two New York police on the subway, is he on antidepressants? I mean, how bad is this? How much of crime are antidepressants responsible for? Is there any study on that? Just out of curiosity.
I would like to input on that one.
Who's that?
I think it's important to go back. Yes, it's Lindsay. I think it's important to go back to that conversation that we did have, Greg, about the selective serotonin re-up inhibitors. And that's that you need to go further than just a psychiatric appointment to receive a prescription for that. I think that's where Paige, Chancey, and myself come into play, is you need to do the whole circuit. You don't need to just go sit down and talk to a doctor who's been trained to write a prescription for a drug that matches the symptoms that you say that you're showing. You also need to go see a wellness advisor. That way you can understand, do I feel down and depressed because of my lifestyle, my habits, my eating choices, or do I have a chemical imbalance? Because as we stated in the previous show, if you do get put on something like Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, Celexa, Lexapro, Effexor, Wellbutrin, any of those things, and you are not chemically imbalanced to the state of a depressive state, it is going to disinhibit you and cause you to start making bad decisions that have no rational thought process behind them. So I think that this is a great topic, and I think that it really brings into where we come into play in the medical world. So that's
my opinion. Okay, wait a minute. You threw out a term I haven't heard before, disinhibit. Does that take away your inhibitions? What is that?
So disinhibit would mean that it's going to basically make you make bad decisions. It's going to take your thought process and take the rationale out of it, and it's going to kind of make – so when you're on an SSRI, I think I spoke about this last time, you don't have – full capacity and facility over your emotions. So normally if you see a flower and it makes you happy, you're going to see that flower, and instead of being angry about it, you're just going to be mute. You're going to be numb to it. You're going to be like, oh, it's a flower, as opposed to, oh, my God, that's a living, beautiful thing. It smells. It attracts things. It pollinates. It's part of nature. These things don't allow you to experience the beauty around you in life. It keeps you in a low. It doesn't allow you to have heightened emotions because, if you're depressed and you start experience a heightened emotion, then it could cause you to go manic. And if you go manic and you're extremely agitated, then you could subsequently hurt yourself or hurt somebody else, even though you're on these antidepressants that ironically are supposed to keep you from doing that, hence the mass shootings. These kids need to sit down and talk to somebody, vent, get their trauma out, and then they need a follow-up behind them to help them and maintain them, but they don't. They don't have that. So their emotions might be heard by somebody, but without the follow-up, they're just going to explode. So go from there with that.
So, no, I want to get patients back here. This is interesting because I want to follow up just a bit with you, Lindsay. It sounds like the antidepressants, in trying to redress a chemical imbalance in the brain that we now know is wrong, are actually causing a chemical imbalance in the brain and creating all these other symptoms. If they're disinhibiting you, if they're taking away your normal conscience, I mean, this is how people get drunk and end up with people the next morning that they wouldn't have done if they weren't drinking. You know, this is what it sounds like. You know, but take it to a much greater scale. And people who wouldn't commit a crime, people would say, oh, I could just kill you, actually do, you know, on these antidepressants, as opposed to just stay and get out of their system like normal people. So it takes the normal to the abnormal. If it's taking away your inhibitions, then these things are actually a huge problem. It's almost like they should be banned rather than emphasized and almost required by anybody that seems to think they have a depression problem. How am I doing?
They should. And people like Paige specifically, Paige is one of the best people that you could go to if you're in a low state of feeling and vibration, because she has so many tools in her arsenal to help raise that depressive state, frequency. So we'll let her talk about the ways that she can help people bring that up.
Okay. Well, let's do that, Paige.
Thank you, Lindsay, and thank you, Chancy and Greg. Yeah, I fully agree with all of you, and it's wild to me because a lot of the people that end up coming to me are on that, like, last leg, where typically they would choose, like, okay, F it, I'm going to go to a doctor and just get some Xanax, you know, instead of facing it. And so something I've noticed is that, like, most of the people – that take them are actually disconnected on a soul level. They don't want to, or maybe they don't remember that they could actually tap into their soul and be guided into the foods and the tools and the guides and the people, we'll say angels of earth, that could actually support them in not only having a short high that think that everything's okay, and they actually get to sustain their frequency. And so, you know, like Lindsay said, facing your trauma. And then, like Chancy said, like, what do you put on your skin? And
So for me, something else I've noticed is that a lot of times people are acting from their subconscious pathways. Like they don't even realize that their inner hopelessness is based off their great-great-grandfather who was in the war. And so they carried that on in their DNA. And so it's triggered through middle school drama. And then they put their child on antidepressants at 13 and then wonder why they cut their wrist.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about trauma from the parents. They transfer that onto their kids, like project it onto their kids and say their kids are depressed and then throw them on drugs?
Not intentionally. Not intentionally. It's like
this is what's happening. Okay.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Huh.
And so, like,
well, how does the DNA transfer work? How do you transfer emotions and experiences through DNA? I'm curious about that.
How does that work? We think of, like, you know, like science has shown that the soul carries weight. Like there's literal defined, like I think it's like 0.7 grams or 7 grams, one or the other. And so like, you know, and then we're all energy, right? And so emotions are energy in motion. And so then when you're in the womb and your mother's there and she is, you know, going through, we'll say she works 3 jobs and she's stressed all the time. Well, guess what? Her mom was stressed all the time, too, when she was in the womb. And then that mom's mom was stressed all the time when she was in the womb. And so we just keep repeating these cycles. And then we'll say, like, you know, obviously, like, the seed and the egg, like, that's you. That's your DNA. And so whatever your dad passes on to you was in his DNA. And so that's why people are like, oh, you get this personality trait from your dad. And the kid's like, how? I don't even know my dad. And it's like, because, genes, DNA. But then it's up to us to take our power back and say, okay, in the age of information, why am I the way I am? And it almost always goes back to your subconscious programming. And it's not just parents. It's also the people that raised you, the music you listen to, the movies you watch. I mean, I'm the Barney generation, you know, and like I don't even know exactly what that means, but it was a weird time, right?
The party generation, is that what she said? Cell phone here. Okay. Well, this raises an interesting point.
I think she said Barney.
Here's my question, though. That makes perfect sense. I mean, my father could talk to anybody and did, you know, and here I am doing talk radio. I mean, I didn't come by this totally by accident. And so I can see that this, you know, some of the same qualities of being able to talk to anybody about anything, you know, comes directly from him. And so that's one of his better qualities. But it's interesting you say that. So then the question becomes your conditioned environment. So if you take your DNA, if you take the physical and then the mental, spiritual, emotional characteristics that go along with it, that makes a lot of sense. You know, you're just like your mother. She did exactly the same thing. Oh, well, how'd that happen? Why are twins so much alike in so many ways? I mean, this makes sense. But then the question becomes, we've got our conditioning. You know, like I said, I grew up in a total narcissist family and was told, you know, I was basically, you know, worthless anyway, et cetera, et cetera. I don't believe that anymore, you know, so I had to battle my conditioning to do that. But was, you know, where does the your genetic spirit and your personality qualities come up against your conditioning? And are people at war a lot of times with their conditioning that they got, that external, with the internal? And how do you defeat the one that's the wrong one? You know, if your internal conditioning is wrong or if your external conditioning is wrong, how do you do that? Do you see that conflict in most people?
I feel like it's really like not so much right or wrong. It's more so like how you feel about the scenario, first of all, because we didn't just get harm from our families and our societal conditioning. Like there were also pros to it. And so then there's the other side where it's like, you know, the ego and the spirit, like the ego and the higher self, and like how you could have, or like how people would think the devil on the shoulder, the angel on the shoulder, right? And so
are
it's
those
like
my only
being
choices?
Able to,
I want a middle one. I want another choice in my forehead.
Well,
give me a third one.
But you're the middle. You're the middle. Like your consciousness, your awareness is the middle.
Okay.
You see? So then you're able to decide, and that's why we have emotions, energy and motion, is so that we can discern, is this actually who I am? Is this who I, and not even who I am, but who I want to be?
Well, those are two separate
based
questions.
Based on what I know up to now.
Answer the first one, who I am, and then answer the question, who do I want to be? I mean, isn't that what we all go through? Isn't that like a basic maturity and growing up
I don't really think anyone ever fully knows who they are, you know?
Well, because you change, but I'm pretty sure of who I am. I've been on this earth for, you know, over 60 years. I got a pretty good idea of who I am, I think, based on experience. I pretty much know what I'm going to do in any given situation at this point. But I still have control over it, you know, because but it's been a journey. God, has it been a journey. But I'm at a point now where I can see who I am, where I am, where I'm going. And, of course, there's always the intangibles, the conditions that you don't know, you know. I can't control, you know, don't want to, whether it's going to, like, thunderstorm. I mean, I'm like, soaking wet when I walk out my door. But there's the things you can control in yourself that you choose, and then the things that happen to you, and you have to deal with both of those. But, you know, once you have control of yourself, you don't worry about the things you can't control. I think that makes for a happier person. Paige?
I see what you're saying. I see
Student
what you're saying.
Student becomes the master.
Like,
the circuit is complete. Sorry.
Yes, I get what you're saying, but it's just like it's not like we're always evolving. Like this is like we're always changing.
Yes,
this is the essence of life.
Yeah.
And I don't think we have control over when we change either. You know, like it's if we're going back to DNA. Like, it comes online at different times in our life. And this comes back to even astrology and what the stars say. Like, so think of Greg at 29, 30 and what happened to him then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are really great. I was a flight instructor, so I was having time of my life. I loved it. Every day was a blast.
Right.
Yeah, I'm flying 3-4, sometimes 5 times a day. Yeah.
So big changes in certain times of our life. And then, you know, how are you able, do you have support, like people like Chancey, Lindsay, me, to help you shift through those changes? Because it's the essence of life, and you can't control your life. You literally cannot.
Well, you can
only control action.
No, you can control your reaction to it, I guess, but you can't control what happens in your life. Yeah, that makes sense. But you guys are, you know, this whole system, I mean, you're all, you know, helping me do what I'm doing, and I'm helping you do, how can I explain this? There's something happening here. And you want to talk about changes? I think all of us that have come together under this sort of Action Radio umbrella are about to go through huge changes. We are all going to become very well known. In a rather short period of time, I have a feeling. And we're going to have to deal with that, and we're going to have to keep our humbleness, and we're going to have to talk to each other and say, yeah, we don't want to change who we are when we have 10 million listeners worldwide. I believe that's going to happen. But I still want to keep our local, you know, kind of friendly neighborhood feel to this experience that we're going through, no matter what happens. And I need you folks to help me with that, and I'm certainly going to try and help you with that as well. But something's happening. I feel something very strong is coming up. There's some things I can't tell you yet, but there's stuff. Yeah.
I think it comes to your lineage also. I don't think you can look at this as an individual, independent thing with just you. I think you have to look at the main goal of what your actual DNA lineage and legacy is going to be about. Paige and I share a friend, Stefan, and we were him and I were talking one day, and I was having a really hard time with the fact that my youngest daughter has a lot of separation anxiety from her father, and that hurts me because he hurt me. And I'm like, wouldn't you want to stay in the love and light of your mother's arms and that security? And Stefan pointed out to me that you have to remember that God knows us before we come to this earth, that we do have something to do with who we choose as our parents and the family that we go into. So in my world, I'm on Action Radio right now. My mom and dad never in a million years would think of going on a public radio podcast and talking about their opinions on life. They just don't have it in them. But the two of them together combining to create me led it to it was just enough to push us into the next version of our family lineage and legacy. Like, okay, Lindsay is the one that's going to take our family and what we believe in and what we've all been raised on through these generations and generations of us, and she's going to express it to the public in a way that everybody can kind of understand. So I don't think it's so much of, you know, me trying to fix Lindsay. I think it's Lindsay needs to stay in check with herself so that we can make sure that we share a positive word, positive advice, rational information to help these lineages that we're close to, like friends and family that isn't DNA related to us, get them to where their lineage is supposed to be headed also. Because these hardships in life, they detour us. They push us off track. And then guess what? You got to wait for the next generation to come about, and then we try again with them. That's my personal perspective on it.
That makes sense. Yeah, I got a caller. I want to try and squeeze in a local caller, so it'd be a first timer. But there's a reason the show is called Action Radio and not the Greg Penglis Show. I never wanted it to be about me. I mean, obviously, you know, I kicked the initial can, but whatever, to get this thing going. But it doesn't matter because I'm nothing without you guys. I mean, really not. I'm a monologue, a boring, you know, one person monologue without all of this. And so I never want – there's a reason there's a lot of people on the show. See, my caller just left. Well, that was no fun. Anyway, if you want to – the best thing for you is to go to live chat. Tell me what you want to talk about, and that way I can – because I don't have a producer yet. I'm working on that too. But that's – I think one of the hardest things to do for a lot of people is to take your ego out of what you're doing. And I've tried to do that as much as possible. But it's about the legislation. It's about freedom. It's about all kinds of things. You know, I'm pushing buttons and talking a lot. But I have the ideas. My job is the ideas. A lot of the – not all the ideas, certainly. But a good amount of the ideas, that's my job. That's my role here. You know, you guys are doing what you do to help people. And so, you know, I can't do what you do. You can't do what I do. But together we can do some amazing things. And that's really how this all works. So any more on serotonin, or do you want to – there's some other things I wanted to talk about. And I forgot what – well, again, let me check my list here of things. That's fascinating. Where do you see this – anything on where you think that's going as far as the drug industry, the antidepressant industry, which it really is?
It's going where it always goes, I think, is just one more after another, after another, after another, which is fine because there are people who that's where they're at and that's what they choose. And then if it is their path, they will stay on it or they will come in touch with someone like us who educates them and they choose differently. So I think that's where I'm at. I'm seeing a lot of people getting frustrated more and more as they wake up of like, well, I need to tell so-and-so or so-and-so needs to know this or, and I'm guilty of that, is like, well, this works, just do it. But that's their path and let them have it. And so if they're taking antidepressants right now and it makes them feel like amazing and they don't reach out, you can plant the seed, but then it's kind of counterintuitive to waste your energy on something that maybe right now that's keeping them from committing suicide. So I think what we need to do is like separate trying to figure out where it's going and then just go where we want to go. And so make sure that we constantly search for things that help people mindfully, soulfully, physically, and then have options when they do reach out. Be like, well, yeah, we knew this and we're glad you know this now, and keep sharing the articles and keep sharing the information, but have an answer and tell them, well, look, this works. Quit using Pam on all your food, and maybe your brain will get better.
there's so many small things. It's like when someone's depressed, they go right for the drugs. You know, it's like the snake oil jab, messenger RNA, you know, re-altering of your genes. And that's what we should call it, because that's what these COVID shots are all about. But in the same way that they don't test for immunity to see if you're already immune and don't need the jab, you know, they don't test whether there's enough things in your life that are causing you to be depressed. So you don't need any depressants. You need to fix what's going on in your life. So it's like everything's being done backwards. Drugs first, you know, cure later, as opposed to, well, what's really going on here? So how do you evaluate? Just a little more question here. So someone comes to you and says, oh, I'm depressed. You know, what kind of things would you want to know? Without, I don't want any personal stories, but give me some areas you'd look into first.
When are you most depressed? Okay. What point in your day? That's what I would want to know first and foremost, is what point in your day are you feeling the most down? What you'll find is usually it's at nighttime when people are alone, or if you get kind of tired, people will start getting really down. I have an odd perspective on being alone. Paige actually had to help me, because when we first met, I was that person who I didn't want to be alone. I wanted to be surrounded by people all the time. And then all of a sudden, I rapidly shifted to isolation, and I was alone all the time, and I had to figure out why. And I think people need to realize that when God does give us time to be alone, it's usually because he's trying to talk to us. If you don't believe in God, there is something you believe in. So maybe you look at it that way and think, oh, maybe whoever is out there is trying to get me to focus in and zone in on something. When I accepted that, hey, God's trying to show me something right now, that's when I really embraced my true self. The prophecy part, just who I wanted to be, my purpose, why have I always been curious about this? And I really just let my purpose lead my way. So in my alone time, instead of sitting there and thinking about all the sad things going on in my life, I was thinking about, what am I supposed to be learning right now? Why do I have all this time on my hands and I'm going to use it for what I'm supposed to be educating myself on? When you turn it around and look at it like that, you're almost like, I don't know how much longer this alone time is going to last. I better take as much in as I possibly can. And then you're no longer depressed. You're more like, okay, I got this information. When's this moment going to happen to where I'm going to use it? It makes it a little bit more exciting.
Well, yeah, and I always see that people don't make a distinction between being alone and being lonely. There's all the difference in the world. I am alone a lot.
Good point.
A lot of work on the show. There's a reason that I don't have, you know, a nagging wife, a crazy girlfriend, you know, 15 dogs, 16 cats, you know, a huge mortgage, 15 car payments, and all this other kind of crap. I don't want the burden. I want to live as a free man. You know, enjoying living as a free man. I have the freedom to do what I want to do. I don't have to feed dogs, watch them poop. You know, there's all these things I don't have to do. I don't have to paint. I don't have to do plumbing. I don't have to do electrical. I don't have to fix a car constantly. I don't have to do the things that people distract themselves with. I don't have to work a 50-hour a week job and hope that I can squeeze in some Action Radio on top of it. I don't have to do any of those things. I'm a free man. How's that for a concept?
Yes.
So
it's beautiful.
Being alone. It's being alone. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
But I don't get out much. I mean, I don't get out much, but that's okay. That's a choice. You know, but, you know, rather than sitting around drinking with the buddies in a bar, I'm practicing guitar at night. You know, so I was thinking about this the last night. So here I'm playing this guitar. I've been playing about 40 years. I'm kind of getting not too bad at it, you know. But I wouldn't do that if I spent all my time distracted by things that everybody else wants. Well, you have to have a dog or you're going to be lonely. You have to, you know, be out, you know, doing things or you're going to be lonely. You know, what is this terrible fear of being – it's like they're translating being alone into being lonely. And I think the most productive times in life are the times when you're working on things you want to work on. Let me throw that out.
Yeah.
Panel?
Yeah, well, and then it goes back. Yes.
Take a turn.
And
first
it goes
name,
back.
First name and speak.
Yes, this is Chancey. It goes back to the whole concept of changing your words around to, I get to be single, I get to be dog free, I get to play my guitar, instead of, I don't have to feed a dog, I don't have to have a nagging wife, I don't have to have a nagging girlfriend. And then you turn it around to, like, if you did were to meet someone, you wouldn't see it as a burden. You'd be like, oh, now I get to date this person who follows me throughout my passions. Oh, now I get to get this animal who follows me all of my life and loves me and travels well with me. And then you will rewrite the story that none of it will be a burden. But that's what a lot of people do. It's like they see, not you, I'm just saying in general, but like you'll see people who do that. Like their family was like in a horrible, divorce after divorce. And that's what they do. They stay single forever because that's their vision of that. And I've done it. Like if I have a busy day.
Yeah.
And that's fine, but you'll love it. You can also like being with someone if you wanted to. It's all a choice. So it's like, do I want to do this alone and love it? Yes, that's fine. Or do I want to see if I can still do the exact same thing but with someone and it not change,
That's a really good question. No, that is a very good question. I would like to see. I mean, I'm open to that opportunity. That person hasn't shown up yet, you know, and that's okay.
Right.
Even if that person were here, I might not be open to that right now because there's too much going on. But I think that's a great way to look at it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Well, I do it with clients. I'll be like, I've got to go in today at 10 o'clock or I've got to get there 30 minutes early. And it's like, why can't you, you know, turn it around and be like, I get to work on four people today and I have a, you know,
extremely exciting day ahead of me or something like that. And our words are so important. Like, that is where we're at right now. It's like the word is so important. And we have taken our mouth away. We've masked ourselves up. We only use our eyes to communicate, or we text each other. And there is no sound. There is no frequency to that word. And so it just, if you can, that's where I would go with someone. I'd be like, so what are you listening to? Like, what music do you listen to in your car? What, who are you, is your office loud? Is your job loud? Are you constantly hit with all these resonant energy trauma that you're kind of out of control of, but you really are, because you can always quit your job and get a new one. But they think it's out of their control. They think that yelling, you know, wife or husband or whatever is out of their control, or the kids screaming all the time. Well, then what are you feeding them? What are you doing? What are you putting in your field that is in your control? But people like to think that nothing's like, oh, I can't control that. I can't control that. And it's really not even about control, I guess. It's about choice and like how you can experience it differently. So what can I do when I go home that would help me to experience my environment differently? And then they may notice it's not depression. It's just they're running away. Like they're trying to get somewhere away from all of that, but it's stuff they've created. Yeah. Because we create.
Yeah. Okay. And words are incredible. I mean, choice and control. I mean, I like to make choices. I don't want to have to think about it. Because control implies that you have to be there, as opposed to choices gives you the option. The words are fascinating. Yeah. I catch myself, and you catch me using words, and you go, well, Greg, think about this. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. Good point.
Yeah.
Let's get to
and it's good to talk to yourself out loud.
Okay. Oh, it helps. Well, you know, it's funny what you said earlier. You know, you talk about being grateful for everything is basically what you were saying. You know, every time I go on the radio, like somewhere in the 5 minutes before, you know, I go on the air, I say to myself, I get to be on the radio today. And I'm like a little kid. It was great. I mean, it's inspiring. You know, and this is so take the gifts and run with them and see what happens. And then when people join you, you know, sharing your gift, it's like, wow, this is even better. You know, I got a bunch of people I get to be on the radio with. This is even better. You know, so it just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
We've got, I want to talk about a little bit, and if you want to cover this more, please feel free. But the subject has come up of DNA collection. And I always wonder when these Ancestry and 23andMe and all these other folks were taking everybody's DNA, and I thought, you're giving the government your DNA. They can catalog, they can research, they can check everything. Yeah, you'll find out if your bum of a father had, you know, kids with three other women or something like that. Yeah, it's interesting to find out. That's good to know. You know, and that's what's happening a lot. It's just fascinating that the family members, people are discovering now through this stuff. But the point is, you know, there was a time when we objected to these drug tests, these random drug tests, because they were unconstitutional, and they still are. People have accepted them now, but you're handing your DNA to your company. And who's to say the company isn't handing it to the government? You know, are we all being cataloged? What are they doing with all this information? And now we find out that China especially is collecting. Well, they're collecting everything through TikTok on all your personal information. That's why I never go on TikTok. But the thing is, you know, people are willingly handing over. It's like Facebook was called LifeLog when the CIA tried to run it. Well, it didn't work that way, so you got to make it voluntary. You have to make people will do anything if they want to do it. As opposed to you make them do it, you got a problem. But if they want to do it, you make it attractive somehow, you give a benefit, they'll do it. But the government's getting all this DNA, and I just see that as a problem.
You know, it really is. And you know what's crazy to me is that, like, I have a theory. And again, this is not end-all, be-all truth. There's no proof in this, but this is my theory on that, is that they take that. And this is really, like, you said anything's accepted on Action Radio, so I'm just going to say it.
Absolutely. Go for it.
But I, like, you know, like, I think that they take the DNA and then they clone children for blood sex ritual.
Yeah.
So where would they do this work being done? And
I don't
who
disagree
do you
with her.
Yeah, no, I want to question it. Like I say, I mean, if you want to throw something out, it's like, great. I always question why, because people will, you know, things that seem plausible, it's good to look into them, because then you think, well, let's look logistically how they're going to do this, and where would they do this, and who would know, and who would have to cover it up, and what would happen to these clones, and what if the clones want rights too, and start screaming and yelling. Let me say there are five of me running out there, not even giving my DNA over, but just say I had, and there's five Gregs in different countries, you know, three are in gulags, and two are under arrest for something, and one of them's on the radio in the United States. You know?
I don't think it's really that surface level, I think you could almost take it back to Hitler. What was Hitler doing? He was trying to create what he perceived as the perfect human race. And then now, guess what? The world didn't agree with that, so we took him out. So what did they do? All these years later, they came up with a sneaky way to figure out who's in that bloodline, who has those genes, who has those characteristics in their blood. I don't think it's just to perform the cloning and the rituals. But I think it's about finding that perfect. I think it all goes hand in hand, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Do you think, Lindsay, that they have gone from, you know, the Holocaust mentality, we need to kill all the people that aren't like us? And incidentally, Hitler was not an Aryan. He was not blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Nordic, or any of those qualities. Neither was anybody else of the Nazis, Himmler, Mengele, any of Goebbels. None of those people were what Aryan model of humanity, which I find kind of interesting. So they didn't even belong to the club they were trying to create. But in those days, they wanted to get rid of everybody who wasn't of that quality. Now it seems like they want to create people who are of that quality. So it's reversed, you know, and but it seems very strange. It just seems like a whole lot of effort. And what are they trying to accomplish with that? You know, elites breed other elites. They go to the same schools. They attend the same, you know, colleges. They work for the same companies. They end up on the global corporate government boards. Why do they need to create, you know, clones of us regular folks?
Because we're finding that when you keep doing that, what's happening is these humans are being created through procreation that have mutations in their DNA lines, because everything's been inbred within the elite status. So, I mean, we are in the year 2022 now. We aren't in the year 1800, 1900, and we now have the capability of combining the elite genome with normal DNA, and now they can basically create their hybrids with us. Now, like Paige said, this is getting a little conspiracy theory-ish.
That's okay.
But, I mean,
we
are on a higher knowing.
I mean, conspiracies are out there. I mean, evolution is a theory, too. You know, I mean, there's a lot of theories.
They have to be able to hide things from us, because they were just open and honest saying, hey, we're kidnapping 100 kids to perform rituals and cloning ceremonies on, which when that happens and we find out about it, we damn those people, we arrest them, and we try to rescue the children. So why wouldn't they be doing it behind the scenes? Why wouldn't they be experimenting with a hybrid elite gene pool where they do take, I'm RHO negative. That's a very curious blood type. Why wouldn't they be searching that out through these DNA things? I mean, they're on a different level than us. They have more knowledge than us, and we're slowly catching up to them. So, I mean, I agree with Paige to an extent. I don't think it's just for those things. I think there's some fun stuff mixed in with it, just like you said, TikTok. People wouldn't do TikTok if they knew that China was just trying to figure out our thought process and our personal information. They make it fun for us so that we have reason to engage with it. So I think it's a big scheme.
You know, it's interesting. I think it goes back to the quest for immortality, that once people reach the billionaire status where they've exceeded, you know, they can do anything they want and pay for it. I forgot which corrupt official was before Congress saying, look, it was a drug dealer. I think it was part of the Iran-Contra thing. He says, I've got all the money I could possibly want. I can, you know, I can afford anything I want. I'm living my best life, and it's all within my means. You know, where do I go from here kind of thing. And so this quest for immortality of these people, they want to live forever. You know, George Soros wants another George Soros. You know, Bill Gates wants another Bill Gates. Klaus Schwab wants another Klaus Schwab to rule the world. And I think this is where a lot of this comes from. And we had specials on adrenochrome and Jeffrey Epstein. We had a researcher look into that. We did a whole hour and a half show on that. And so I believe these people, in their quest for immortality and their science gone mad, it goes back to Jeff Goldblum's, you know, line in Jurassic Park. You know, you only asked if you could. You never asked if you should. And that's what's happening to these people. They're not asking if they should do this. They're asking if they can. You know, the old Stepford Wives line. Why did you do this? Well, because we can. You know, they have no limits. You want to talk about antidepressant, no inhibitions. These people have no inhibitions. They think they're gods. They want to live forever. And they justify anything they do. They justify in their minds because they're gods and they want to live forever. How am I doing?
Amazing.
I think you're doing, I think you're doing great. But I also think we also have to be very aware of the fact that we can't be distracted on trying to figure out what they're trying to accomplish.
Exactly.
We have to understand that we are pure opposed to what they have created in a lab. Therefore, we will always be above it. And they have a bad habit of scaring us, that fear-mongering, into thinking that because they do carry the title elite, that anything they come at us with is going to be more powerful, when in reality, we are the most powerful ones because we are pure. We contain that supernatural power that we haven't been able to tap into yet, which again goes back to people like me, Paige, and Chansey. You sit down with us and we help you realize what that soul power is within you. That way, if a hybrid version of yourself does come face-to-face with you at some point, you realize that it's inferior to you. You're not inferior to it. And I don't want to be dooming, but there could be a time in our lifetime where we will be faced with a version of a human race that seems elite and above us. And we need to realize, no, hey, we're the humans. We're pure. We have that DNA in us that allows us to tap into our soul purpose and energy at any point in time, which is why you meet people like Paige specifically, who helps you raise your frequency so that you can come into tune and then tap with the energetic abilities that you have within your body that are not just surface level, what you project to the general public on a day-to-day basis.
On that note, Paige, that's interesting.
Thank you, Lindsay, and I agree fully. It's like one of those things where, like, what you focus on is what you create, and so, like, if we focus on the fact that, we're giving our power away to people we don't even know that we call the elite, you know, none of us know them on a personal level. And then we just continue to give our power away over and over and over again as a collective. And so, you know, it's kind of like someone told me yesterday, they were like, if you're the teacher and you convince them that if they do this wrong, they're going to get a bad grade, well, then they start listening to, you know, the whole, basically the program of fear, you know? And so, like, it's like we have to, like, again, find our soul sovereignty, come back into our center, connect to something beyond us, the what that has brought us in to have this experience, and not be feeling like we're not supposed to be here, which then comes back into living for death or living for life, which we've talked about on here before. And so it's like, if we're living for life, we don't give a shit that there's some guy out there that's saying, this is how it's going to be and this is how it's going to end. Because actually, you can have faith in that, the fact of, quote unquote, the light has already won. I don't mean that as in, like, there's a winner and a loser, but, like, consciousness, and humans can't play God forever, period. Like, they just can't. And so, you know.
Well, sooner or later, God gets jealous and, you know, slaps you down. So it only goes on so far.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, this is a perfect, I'm going to get a chance to have this too, but this is the perfect description of Action Radio. Look what we're doing here. We're fearlessly saying that we, the people, we're going to write the laws that we consent to be governed by. We don't care what the elites say. We don't care what the government says. The government's been stolen. We don't care what the major corporations say. We don't care what the special interests say. We don't care what the vaccine manufacturers try to force on us. We don't care that big tech is trying to censor us. We're going to change it. Just regular folks, just us, and there's a lot of other people. There are going to be millions of people out there. Once they realize that they can write the laws that they consent to be governed by, it doesn't mean they're going to pass, but it means that they can be written by regular people. And we lead by example. We say, here are the laws. Okay, this is what we choose for ourselves. Now let's see what you choose as government, and then we'll see if we choose you to continue as government. This is a reversal of power. This is probably this sounds really egotistical. I'm trying to avoid that, but this could potentially be one of the greatest reversals of power in history. Certainly American history. The greatest reversal of power was the colonies becoming a nation, you know, throwing off Britain. That was a huge reversal of power. This is what we're doing here, a reversal of power. The power now is the special interests dictate to the government laws that they want, and then they force them on the people. And what I'm saying is, we're going to write the laws, we're going to submit them to government, and through the normal process, the constitutional process, some of the special interests don't really use, they buy their power.
We're going to use the vote. We're going to use the media. We're going to use our persuasion. We're going to use talking to everybody. And we're going to send the laws that we consent to be governed by to government and have them impose them on the special interests. This has never happened. We're breaking some new ground here. So in being fearless and being courageous, and to me it's just, this is a normal thing to do. That this is, this is how I see the world. We need to reverse the power. Okay? And so in doing that, everything changes. But once you start thinking that way, and most people don't think that way yet. Even people at Action Radio sometimes, they don't see what this is really all about, this vision. But there are folks that do pick up and go, oh, I get it. I see where you're going with this. This makes sense. And that's huge, too. So there's the, I don't know what you call it. You use the term soul sovereignty. I think that's what I have, you know, but I want to know what that means. But you see where I'm saying, where we can go with this, of this collective idea that, maybe we are the ones who can determine much more than we ever thought possible. Maybe we do have power they didn't tell us about. Maybe, and then maybe becomes reality. Paige?
We do. There's a study that was conducted. I will send you the link to it after the show. I'm sorry. Okay. But there was a study where they took people and they put them in a building in the middle of a small town and they had to meditate. And they all meditated at a high frequency for, I believe it was an hour a day for maybe 7 days. Don't quote me on that. And the people who were conducting this experiment found that the people in that town as a collective, as a whole, their vibration rose just from those people meditating in that town without them really even knowing. So that brought me to wonder, one of my side jobs is I work at McGuire's, and when you're in the restaurant industry, sometimes there's a lot of victim mentality. People can get exhausted, so they're in a low state of mind. And I've wondered, like, what would happen if, say, like 20 of those servers came together every morning and they did a meditation powwow within that restaurant before it opened? I believe that after a while, the whole vibration would change. It would raise, and people would just feel more invited when they even came into the restaurant because of that frequency that we left when we concluded our meditation that morning. I know a lot of lawyers who do that. They do yoga and meditation in the office, and they're very, very prominent and successful in the area compared to those who don't take the time for wellness and self-care like that during the working hours. I just found that a very curious thing that I read.
No, that makes sense. I've tried to get Tai Chi workshops, you know, before shifts at various companies I've worked. I said, why don't we just get me 15 minutes early, hire a Tai Chi instructor. You know, it'd be easy for the company to do for the whole, and it's, I think everything would improve. You know, but I don't do it on my own because I don't. But if a group are doing it, I think, well, I do that. So I got to find a workshop. But, yeah, all those things make sense. Taking work and having work beyond work. This is where, like the Gore-Tex Corporation, some of the other ones listed in the 100 best corporations to work for, flex time, plants in the office, different things to do, different hours, different schedules, different all kinds of stuff, work from home. You know, all these things create a more human environment so we can be more ourselves and less, you know, a cubicle box in prison. I mean, there's not much difference between a cubicle and a jail cell, you know, except that you're only in it for 8 to 10 hours a day as opposed to, you know, all the time. But it's all frame of reference. It's all what you know, you are what you think you are. You know, you are your perceptions, and your perceptions become your reality. So change your perceptions, you'll change your reality.
Exactly.
Chancey, haven't heard from you for a bit. What's that?
No, I agree. I agree with
check,
all
please.
Of it. I'm just happy to...
Someone say check, please.
Can you?
Yeah. I don't know. Go ahead.
No, yeah, just agree with all of it and just here to move into the new now and just show people to turn the TV off. I've been at someone's house that they feel the same way I do about the news. It's just in the background, you know. But it's funny. I haven't watched the news or looked at a TV in I don't know how many years or, like, on purpose, like, to watch a show.
Why just
for
the comedy?
Or watch the news.
For the show material.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I watch Netflix or something like that, but like the actual live news. And so it was actually Fox News, which is, you know, you're supposed to believe in Fox. It's the channel to watch if you're conservative.
Please. They've already taken Mike Pence as their candidate for the gelding old party. It's hysterical to watch. I mean, I see the signs right now. So I can tell when they get new instructions. You know, I'm a word guy, right? So I watch Fox News because One American News, they took it off my DirecTV. And so I have to watch it on the computer, which distracts me. Anyway, so I'll go back and forth between Fox on the computer, on the TV and One American News on my computer. But it's just fascinating to watch the dialogue. And it's like, okay, they got new instructions now. Mike Pence is the Republican nominee. I can hear it. I can hear what they say. And the more they say President Biden so many more times now, you know, and it's that you can just tell all these little subversive little messages they keep sending out. But, you know, I like to think I pick up on them. But, yeah, watch news for the comedy. Watch it critically. Yeah, look at what they're saying. Figure out what they're trying to tell. That's half the fun of watching the news.
Right. And that's what I was going to.
Tell him the frequency.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at. Is that like the concept is that don't eat, like when you watch it, no matter, because my mom says the same thing. Like I call her and I'm like, do you realize that everything you're watching is a lie? It's all the joke. It's all like, it's fake. And she's like, yeah, but that's why I watch it. And I'm like, yeah, because that's why they want you to watch it. Because they want you to go down the rabbit hole on your own side of thinking, oh, this is funny, I'm going to watch it. But you're still giving it your energy. You're giving it your frequency. And it means nothing. Every bit of it is so, like, unimportant that it takes up so much space in your field that it's not even worth the funny part of it because there's something else on TV that's funnier. So basically I was here and I turn around and it's talking about monkeypox and how it's going to be a health emergency and we're shutting down, you know, all the things again. And then I go over here and the stock market's crashing. And then I go over here and it's doing this. And I'm like, but none of that matters. Like, even if it's fake, it doesn't matter. Even if it's real, it doesn't matter because I am right here right now. And what can I do to end my mind thinking about what's not happening right now? Is to quit looking at something that's not happening right now. Everything that they tell you on the news has already happened. They've already created it. It's already spiraled the way that they want it. They've already got somebody else coming on next week to tell you how it went last week. The stocks are already not what they are when they're telling it to you. But it keeps you in that, like, I want to know this stuff just so I can know it. Even if you want to know it to say it's a lie or to know it to say it's fake or to know it to say it's true, like that, they got you any way they want you when you're watching it because they know how to frequency the scrolling across the bottom of the screen that you say you might not even watch, but it's in your vision and it'll come across and say 5 children die in an avalanche in Appalachian Mountains or some crap. So you get sad about that. And then that makes you look it up. It's just, that's what they want. They seriously want you to either talk about it one way that, oh, I watched that because it's stupid and, like, it's so hilarious how far it's went left or went right, or they want you to watch it and be like, wow, I wonder if that's true. Is the stock market really that good? I should buy stocks right now. Let me call my financial advisor. And it's just, it's like chaos. Yeah.
I use the news. So when I hear that the national debt is exceeding $3 billion, I wrote a constitutional amendment to take away the power of Congress to borrow money. When I hear about all the vaccine problems and the injuries and the deaths that are happening, I'm starting a list of all those I think have been killed by the jab. You know, anybody that died of unannounced causes, you know, suddenly, especially with a heart condition, COVID jab, it's automatic. But now I have a bill that puts product liability back on vaccine makers. So I use the news. So to me, it's a tool of the trade. It's the information. They're telling me how to defeat them. They're telling me what I need to do to write the legislation to get the support for the legislation that takes away their power. Okay? You know, big tech. Mm-hmm. Big tech is censoring everybody, including me. You know, a lot. You know, I've been censored ever since I said the vaccine thing is a hoax. It's a bunch of crap, and it always has been. That was March 2nd of 2020. So then I wrote a bill that found a way to make their liability conditional on them not touching anything that we post on social media. So this is how I turn this around. So if you're passive about it, so let me ask you the difference. So Chance, do you see a difference between being passive about the news and being active about the news? Now, I consider myself active. I use it, and I use it against them.
I see there's a difference, but not in physically watching it on TV. If you want to look it up, if you want to read articles, if you want to find a forum that is maybe more geared towards what you're looking for, yes. But the physicality of a TV with the blue and the red and the yellow and the green and all the background stuff going on, it is getting into your peripheral field, your resonant field. It is literally changing your frequency. And so, yes, if you watch it and then there's just no benefits to watching it, period, like with your eyes. that's fine if, like, the news, as in, like, let me look up an article from so-and-so journal that is usually pretty accurate and let me research that. Yeah, it takes more time, and that's what they want. It's easy to just listen to it for an hour and hear everything and then pick from it from what you want. But so where it brings me back to is, like, we have a friend who just got hired by Fox, and she got hired by Fox just to see what was going on. And sure enough, she's interviewed by, like, five people, and they're telling her in the interview, we just want to let you know, we are liberal. We are not Republican. We are liberal. And she's like, well, this is weird. Why are they telling me this, number one? Like, I don't care. Then her only job is for them to create an email of a story that hasn't happened yet and put it out to the masses. Put it on your Instagram.
Yep.
Put it on your social
media. I know.
Everywhere. And you know this person. And so it's like, yes. This
Can
is
they come
why
on the
none
show?
Of it matters.
No,
maybe.
No,
anonymously, can we get him on the show?
We might could, but it's comical. So where it comes from is, like, then I call my mom because I'm like, oh, I got news. I'm going to tell her. Like, there's no need in her even watching the news. You know, kind of, I guess, I don't know, I was blindsided. And I was telling her this, and she was like, oh, yeah, I know. I just watch it because it's funny. And I'm like, no, you don't, because you send me text messages every day about the news, just like us. We're talking about the news right now, and they don't even care. Like, they could care less if we write a bill to get the news off the station, or, like, because they're going to do what they want to do. They have the power to do whatever they want. And then if you don't want to work for them, they fire you. If you don't want to do what they want, they don't care. They'll be on another channel. They'll be on another channel. They'll go to this channel. So that is where we need to get is that we just quit. Yeah. Quit giving them their power. Quit giving them our power, like Paige said. Find your own outlet. Find someone that you can look up and talk to. Message. Hey, did you do this? Do you believe in this research? Like, do deeper research. So the quick answer is no. None of the TV news is beneficial, or laptop or whatever. Maybe if you want to listen to it and you don't want to look at it, but still, it's just no. It's hard to say that, but I love you, and that's why.
Well, this is fascinating. I've got two of our next panel already, Captain Schur and Captain Stewart. Captain Tom Stewart's been on the show before. He was our greatest doctors panel. So we're going to kind of wrap up in a couple of minutes here. This is fascinating. I mean, I love it. And, of course, you're all welcome to stick around. Everybody once you're on the show or before you're on the show, if you're on the show at any time, you can always call any of the other things going on. This is fascinating about Fox News. We need to do a little expose on Fox. I would love to know what your friend knows. I think people need to know. We might spend some time next week specifically on that because, you know, anybody that portrays themselves as the modern conservative, now I know they're liberal. I watch them because some of the news is interesting, some of the reports are, but I do what you do. I'll take a look at a report. Well, actually, I don't. I listen to it more than anything else. This is why I love radio.
Yeah.
Radio is a completely different input into your brain than video. This is why I'm never going to leave radio, because I want this going directly into your brain, you know, because you have to listen. And when you listen, it's conscious. When you watch, you know, because so much of our sensory input is visual, it takes away from hearing. You're not hearing. You know, it's like every time – well, here's a question for you, too. Now, I think now that we got our panel for the next part, I'm going to ask them pretty much the same question. When you see a story on the COVID shot, what are they always showing you every single time? They always show you the same thing. No matter what the story on the COVID shot, good, bad, what do they show? They show somebody getting a vaccine, which isn't a vaccine, right? Okay? This is why I don't watch them. Every single story on the jab, they can say that it spreads COVID. It doesn't work. It's not as effective. None of that sinks in because the visual is somebody getting a jab. It must be a good thing. Right?
Yeah. Maybe. That's what they're trying to do. That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't look at it. Like, I couldn't tell you the last time that I looked at it. And
okay,
I'm so happy.
But a lot of people
like,
do.
I'm so – I know. And so that's what I'm telling you is that there is no good to it. So – like, if you can just get that in their head that this is where we're going, and they're going to do it more, and it's going to, like, now it's going to be the monkeypox, and you got to put on gloves, or, you know, and it's where we're at. So I'm saying, like, us who know, we don't even need to waste our time on that. Yes, there's going to be people who are still doing it, but, like, us who are really in it and we're changing the world with our mindset, it's taking from our genius. Like, it's taking from our ability to do more. And that's okay if we're okay with that, but it's going to get to a point to where none of it's going to even, like, be of value to us, as in me, you, Lindsay, Paige, people on the show that are like trying to change the world and trying to make sure people, you know, understand. So if we quit, then our frequency changes, and then we attract other people's frequency that are looking for that. And then they ask us why we're like we are, and we say, well, we quit watching the news 2 years ago because none of it matters. And they're like, whoa, really? You know, so no, it can't happen overnight, but it's got to be a process to where we just quit giving it our power. And I love you, Greg, and I'm going to let the next person keep going because I know how it is to cut off someone's time. So it's been great.
No, this is fabulous. Why don't you give your – I'll give your contact information, and then we'll get to – we've got Captain Shore. I probably mispronounced that. Captain Tom Stewart, Commander Rob Green I have on the panel. Who knows? I mean, Tom invited a bunch of folks.
Oh, hey, Tom. I know Tom.
Well, I'll make Tom's line live, and then I'll get our other two folks here. I'll let him introduce them. Tom Stewart, how you doing?
Doing well, Greg. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, except I have to use my cell phone for the show today because the direct connect button never appeared. So we're doing a little we're getting a little crazy here. Paige dropped, unfortunately, so I didn't get her contact information. So let's go quickly through our group here. Actually, Lindsay and Chansey, you're left. And again, if you want to stick around, feel free. Chansey, how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, it's ChanseyTerry.com, ChanseyTerry.com, and everything's on there. I think my cell phone number is even on there. But just reach out. We're here to help, and we're here to connect you with people who, if you truly don't think there's an answer, there's always an answer, and we can find it if we don't have it. And so, Tom, good to hear your voice. Haven't seen you in a while. Hope you're doing great. And thank y'all for having me.
Nice to have you, too. And do you have any contact for Paige that you can give out? Like I say, she left. Maybe she had to go or something like that.
Yeah, okay, so, yeah, it's the AwakeningOracle.com, theawakeningoracle.com. And so that will find her. All her information's on there.
Okay. And Lindsay?
All right. Bye, Lindsay.
Bye, babe. Have a great day.
You too.
My contact information would be my email is lghorton33@gmail.com. If you want to pose any questions to me or set up an appointment, you can also see my Reiki and healing videos on TikTok at Lindsay Galen Horton. Thank you, Greg. It was a great conversation today.
Oh, this is wonderful. I love having the three of you on. We'll talk next week. I'll make a quick announcement now that we have our new our life coach page is now our life and health coaching page. That includes Gene Vernig, our life coach, and then Chansey Terry, Lindsay Horton, and Paige Ward. So we're combining forces here. And so post anything you want to post there, and away we go. Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right. And now an immediate transition, because that's what we do around here. We don't have news breaks. We just go right to it. So Captain Tom Stewart, if you want to reintroduce yourself quickly for folks that may not know your story, and then introduce your guests. And you have so many topics. I'm going to let you do this. I'm just going to sit back and listen. This is going to be fun for me. So what's happening, sir?
It's going. I start off with just introducing my guests real quick. Basically, background on me, I was an instructor down at Whiting Field. Teaching helicopters primarily in the advanced syllabus, and was grounded over this unlawful vaccine mandate, and has faced adverse consequences as well. Just left the service 1 July. And on the phone, I have Commander Rob Green, who is instrumental in getting the Navy temporary restraining order delivered for the Navy. As you know, the Air Force just recently has one, and also have Chaplain Shower on the line as well. And he is one of the 31 chaplains involved in a lawsuit against the Secretary of Defense. And this is one of the many lawsuits we have right now that the administration's facing. And right now we're up to over 30. Trying to get Lance Corporal Arnett on the phone, having some issues dialing in. I don't know if you guys are catching it on your end, but she needs some help getting through.
Let me check the Skype line real quick. She's tried. Has she tried just calling in the on our broadcast page is the code for the Skype line? Does she have five?
Got her the Skype line. I'll try her to try. I'll tell her to try Skype.
All right. Wait a minute. I think I've got one. Is her name Catherine?
Yes.
Okay. So let me accept that, and then she should be able to dial in. Okay,
perfect.
So chatting. So have her try that again. It should go directly to the studio, and I can make her live.
Will do.
Oh, technology. I can't broadcast with my microphone today because that button never showed up, but it looks like we're working here. And I've already approved, Catherine, I approved your conversation, so please feel free to use the live Skype and call again. And it should work. We'll make her live.
Perfect. I'll just told her to try Skype, but I'm going to go ahead and start running through these notes simultaneously. Right now, we're obviously having an issue with readiness. You have a response from Secretary Austin to Senator Inhofe back in the day that says this whole vaccine issue is a readiness issue. According to him, if we don't get vaccinated, we can't deploy, we can't operate. That's not an accurate statement at all. Most of these countries that we would operate in right now, especially England, Ireland, some of these other spots, and select countries in the Middle East have removed their requirements to get vaccinated. right now, we face a shortage of pilots. DOD-wide, you're going to lose up to 700 right now if they want to continue to push this mandate. Right now, we're going to lose up to 136,490 troop strength in our active duty component as well. As 40,000 National Guard July 1st.
Let's just talk about this for a second. Tom, this is absolutely nuts. Because what they're really doing, it seems to me, I think a lot of people agree, and Catherine, it looks like your line is live now. We'll get to you in just a second, or I'll let Tom introduce you. But they're not just – this isn't about – this is – yes, it's about readiness. What this really about is purging the military of anybody with a brain, anybody who wants to lead, anybody that understands what you're fighting for is the Constitution, is our rights, is our form of government, is our way of life. And what they're doing is they're taking out the very people who understand that and replacing them with these, you know, I don't know, clones. Am I wrong? Tell me what's going on.
You do not. Go ahead.
Who's this? Just give your name and then feel free to jump in. Was that Tom again? All the lines are live.
Yeah, you do not give up your constitutional rights when you put this uniform on. You take an oath to support and defend it and uphold it.
Right.
That is a false misconception. But, yeah, we do not just give up our rights and go take whatever injections they want to put into us, experimental injections they want to put into us because we put on the uniform. This is beyond just following orders. This is an unlawful order, and it continues to get proven unlawful in multiple administrative separation boards we have. We have three in the Marines that I know of, and then one on the Navy side, Lieutenant Bill Mosley, that was the most notable one by an attorney named Yunst, that this continues to get proven unlawful. And this new drug that they have magically introduced within the military ranks, Comirnaty, is not even manufactured in the United States, so it can't be FDA approved or even biologically licensed because, according to some of the recent discoveries that have been made, it has been imported from Europe.
Well, that's interesting. I got distracted just for a second here. I've got Lance Corporal Catherine Arnett calling in from Japan.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, this is Catherine. Can you hear me?
There you go. Yep. Sure. Can.
Go ahead and introduce you.
Hello. Yeah. This is Lance Corporal Arnett. Thanks for having me, Greg. I've usually done face to face interviews, but I'm assuming Greg, you're here.
I'm here. Yeah. But things are a little crazy.
Sorry.
Today.
Sorry, I'm late.
I'm on my cell phone, and so the button that normally allows me to connect directly to my studio screen so I can produce the show isn't working, so I had to call into my own show, which is kind of weird. So did someone else speak before Catherine that wasn't Tom? I'm just curious of who that was, because that was interesting. Or was that Tom?
That could have been a sound. That could have been a sound from my end. My apologies.
Okay. Because I got four of you live, Captain Shower, I've got Captain Tom, I've got Captain Commander Rob, and we've got Lance Corporal Catherine. I'm just going by first names, otherwise it gets confusing. Tom, do you want to kind of direct this and see who, you know, bring up the issues you want to bring up? You know more about them than I do. I can see them. I'll ask you impossible questions like I normally do.
Yeah, absolutely. Fine. Yeah, right now the Air Force has been dealing with a jet pilot shortage since 2017. The figure we're rolling with there is about 1,500. We're short jet guys on the Air Force side. The Marines are short jet guys. All the guys that are pretty seasoned on the Marine side that have been flying jets for a while, they're going to Delta, FedEx after their obligated service. They're having a heck of a time trying to keep them around, especially for some of the instructors down in Pensacola that have been flying jets and the T-45 when a lot of them end up transitioning to the Naval Reserve. Something the Marine Corps of Manpower is not very pleased about. How this ties into the Marines that are grounded in Pensacola, the Marine Corps needs jet pilots. They need F-35 pilots. They need to get F-35 squadrons fully operationally capable. They just got one in Okinawa fully operationally capable. And right now they're getting ready to purge these Marines in Pensacola, but they're valuably very much needed. Also on the helicopter side, three of them will be wearing wings right now. Had this mandate not have been dropped on them, and they have not been removed from training. And there's a couple of them that would definitely be more than eligible to fly jets right now based on where they're at in the syllabus. Recruiting and retention issues.
What's going on with the airlines? But don't the airlines require the jab also, most of them? Or no? Have they changed that?
Right now, Delta and American are at least accepting religious accommodations. You're still able to submit a religious accommodation and not get the jab. That's slowly going away.
That government pressure so that you can't fly for the military, you can't fly for the airlines, you can't fly for anybody that's going to pay you to do it. It seems like they're taking – and as someone who, like I said, I haven't flown for 30 years. I want to get back into it very much. I was teaching early 90s before all the airlines went broke. That's kind of what took away my business and ability to get in the airlines. But they're bringing this on all the sides. And if one group of people, you know, has to be able to think, it's pilots. You know, you got a lot of stuff going on. You've got to be able to multitask, especially the faster the craft that you're flying, the faster things are going to happen for you. And so to take the people out that are most able to do that makes no sense to me. And the people that are the pilots are probably the folks most likely to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to take this. This is unsafe, because you have to be safe in the airplane. You know, it's one thing if you're on the ground, you get sick and you're in the hospital. If you're in the air, you know, you got to get that plane down before you can do anything else. And I don't think the military is thinking this through properly. Go ahead.
I don't think so either, but there's also a suit filed by a guy named Pierce against the FAA and multiple airlines right now as well against this mandate. And, so that's actively ongoing, representing flight attendants and pilots that are pushing against this on the civilian side. But, not only does it take, you know, it takes a lot of manpower to keep these airplanes flying, but kind of what's being overlooked in this thing is the maintenance, the supporting side. Lance Corporal Arnett being out in Okinawa, being with the Marine Support Squadron, is greatly in support of this, and we're going to lose guys like this too, who are supporting our guys in the air, keeping the planes in the air. And Catherine, if you want to go ahead and kind of leave.
I don't know if you want to get into this,
absolutely.
But what do you think? Okay, all right, go ahead, Catherine. I'll say my question. Yeah.
Okay. I'm actually located in Iwakuni on the mainland, but I've had a lot of support from a lot of Okinawa people, like especially in Kadena. Like some guys have reached out through me on Telegram, and I'm really grateful for that. They asked about the kind of being able to – dare I say, think for yourself, kind of topic you touched on before, right when I hopped on, kind of the logic train that I've kind of been trying to, I guess, espouse is that, you know, if the vaccination mandate is unlawful, which we're protected from to not get, then any subsequent, you know, separation procedures are unlawful. And I would assume most people of like sound mind can go along with that, but the court, the judge, the prosecution, you know, obviously they're all having a hard time with that kind of simple logic train. So yeah, it's kind of sad, I guess, how people like us who can think, you know, are getting weeded out like that.
Are they being corrected? Are the courts, I guess it's the JAG, I don't know what the equivalent is for different services, but the legal branch of the services, you know, are they as bad as their Supreme Court seems to be on so many things? Are they being directed by government? Do they have to, if you're a military judge, do you have to serve the government, or how much can they think for themselves, and can they make new policies based on logic and reason and following the Constitution, or do they have to follow the government line?
Yep, that's kind of what it's coming down to the wire on, especially how the judge might rule on the lawfulness or unlawfulness of the separation orders, because that's what I'm going to court-martial for. I'm not going to court-martial for not getting the vaccine. I'm going to court-martial for not separating when they told me to, because, well, they're unlawful orders. But, yeah.
So, good luck to you. I mean, this is fascinating. And this is something that's talked about. You know, it's your duty not to follow unlawful orders, and yet the same government that issued those unlawful orders tells you that those orders are lawful. Well, they can't do that. They can't say that you have to take their jab and then say that, oh, not only do you have to take it, but this mandate that you know is unlawful is lawful. So there's your conflict of interest. There's proof. The same government that tells you, you know, what to do can't say that it's lawful for them to tell you what to do.
I mean, I will tell you, as far as the military department goes, they're not giving the service members the support they need. And this was even at NAS Pensacola when I was down there. You have the Air Force legal guys down at Hulbert that are screwing over our airmen, aren't giving them much support either, even though they know the order is unlawful. But higher, i.e. the Secretary of Defense, is telling them, you will enforce this or else.
Yep.
Yeah. It goes to the religious exemption, too, when they say that, we can't give you a religious exemption. Well, that's the whole point of a religious exemption. It's an exemption. That's what it means. You can't say, well, you're not sincere. And say, well, it's not a sincere religious exemption.
And I'll let what are you talking about? Tackle that and talk about his case.
Okay. Who's that new person?
Chaplain Schauer, also on the line. He can kind of talk about the religious exemption, the RFRA, and kind of go down that avenue of approach dealing with Marines, and also talk about, you know, chaplain support and how that's been the past few months with some of these guys. He has a very interesting story. So whenever you're ready, Chaplain.
Let's hear it.
Yes, sir. Chaplain. Thank you. Yeah, happy to be on here and get a chance to try to encourage some folks. That's the end goal.
Yeah.
You know, as much as a lot of the things happening are not good in a lot of ways, it's not the intent of the folks like myself, at least when we come out and share our personal opinions, to make the military look bad in any sense. You know, we're just trying to share what happened to us. And in my case, you know, when I even voiced a desire to request exemption, I hadn't even done the paperwork to request an exemption, but I just said that my intent was to do so. You know, my orders were changed to arguably a lesser assignment. You know, we were told we'd be held over, and I was, you know, not going to be able to even go on to my assignment, all sorts of things. And, you know, when you look at it from a Religious Freedom Restoration Act perspective, from a constitutional perspective, you know, I think that we should be free to exercise our faith as we are led by our God or by whatever the tenets of our faith may be. And so only with certain very reasonable restrictions is the government supposed to be able to burden a member's sincerely held belief. And that's kind of the core text of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, that whenever somebody exercises or desires to exercise their religious freedom or their constitutionally protected free exercise of religion, it is on the government to demonstrate, and that's a key word there specifically in the law, to demonstrate that in some way burdening that member's faith or their belief furthers a compelling government interest. And so there are a lot of points along that where you can kind of argue that the compelling government interest is not furthered by the vaccination mandate, is not furthered by a lot of the policies that have been put in place. And that's where it comes down to a legal question. And Lance Corporal Arnett, I think, very, very clearly articulates some logic there, that if something is illegal, which it has been questioned, Captain Stewart mentioned over 30 lawsuits questioning the legality, and anything that stems from that illegal act or those illegal orders, you know, should be put on hold. And I would hope ideally what somebody would want to do is wait until that legal case, that argument has been more fully decided and unfleshed out, which that's something we're not seeing. We're seeing a full court press on folks, even though there are so many different lawsuits out there.
Well, this is fascinating. You have to even do lawsuits in the first place. I mean, where are the advocates for you guys? I mean, doesn't everybody get a counselor or some kind of or a lawyer to take your side of this? You know, is that happening? And are they competent? You know, who are the folks in the legal
department?
It'd be the
commanding officers advocating for their troops and their commanding officers. But right now, they're not. They're just going along with the company line, threatening their Marines, soldiers, sailors, and airmen with administrative separation and basically just discarding them to the wind and letting the process take place.
So you have
and the legal the military side's not being very helpful either.
So there's no attorney representing you guys, or is there?
You know, whenever something
go ahead. I'm trying to figure out who's representing this you folks that are breaking the lawsuits in the military. In the military courts.
This is Chaplain Schauer here. Whenever somebody is charged with a crime, as Catherine has been, or whenever they are notified of administrative separation proceedings, the military does have legal representation through either the Area Defense Councils or the Defense Services Office, depending on what service branch you're in. And legal counsel is provided to help you with that issue. The downside is that often those members are not necessarily personally passionate about your case. They are ethically bound, and for the most part, for many stories I've heard, they do provide ethical defense. But in some cases, you can tell they're not passionate about it, and that shows in the quality that you're given of defense counsel. Those defense counsels are also often junior ranking members of the Legal Services Corps or the JAG Corps, and are often outmatched by the numbers and the experience that's used by the more command JAG elements. And so it's definitely a David versus Goliath situation in these legal or administrative battles within the services.
And I'm sure they're told behind the scenes, if you want a career in JAG, you know, this is the way that the game is played. Betcha. There's a bigger legal issue here, too, that I raise on my show all the time. I do a lot of stuff with Supreme Court reform and jury instruction on nullification and things like that. This whole idea of a compelling state interest. Anytime the government says that the government has a compelling interest in limiting your rights, those rights become a privilege. They no longer are rights. And the whole point of a right is, despite what Brandon, the insurrectionist, says, that a right is absolute, you know, within the context of that right. You know, the Second Amendment, you know, is an absolute right to keep and bear arms. It has nothing to do with the use of those arms. Okay, that comes under statutory law. Same thing here. You know, religious exemption, the freedom of religion, is a freedom of religion. It's an absolute freedom of religion. Okay, it doesn't mean you can do anything with it, you know, outside and, you know, whatever else, you know, bizarre rituals people have. But what I'm saying is the same way here. If you believe in your religion that this is a violation, that's it. There is no compelling state interest because we do have, you know, a First Amendment. The free exercise of religion is guaranteed. The government will not touch it. And it looks like they are touching it here. So they've completely violated the First Amendment, even proposing this ridiculous theory of a compelling government interest or reasonable restrictions or the strict scrutiny or any other stupid things they do. None of those things are constitutional, and they're certainly not mentioned in the Constitution, but they're just made up by government who wants control and wants to take away your rights. How am I doing?
I will say, since some of the restraining orders have come in, especially on the Navy side, they are not Navy's not treating their sailors very well, the ones that have submitted religious accommodations. They're pulling them out of a non-deployable, still telling them they're non-deployable. Also, certain individuals and certain commands are refusing to even train some of their individuals that have submitted a religious accommodation, and they're going down the path saying basically not treating them as equals, making them wear a mask, take this unlawful experimental test every week with the COVID test kits. That's another issue they're having on the Navy side. Green can kind of speak more to that on his end.
Yeah. I'm having a little trouble keeping you all straight by your voices, except Catherine's voice. I know hers. But Commander Rob Green, who I don't know if we've heard from, Captain Tom Stewart, and Captain Schauer, if you just
first name or identify yourselves, you know, when you're speaking. Have we heard from Rob Green yet? I'm not sure.
No, not yet. I'm on now.
Okay.
Well, thanks for having me, good. Greg.
Well, you've been on for
so
a while.
Real quick back.
Except spoken.
It's all good.
Go ahead.
For quick context, you know, Commander Rob Green, a Naval Academy grad, destroyer sailor, surface guy. My most recent assignment was as the executive officer of a 650-person security squadron. You know, we provide harbor security around the globe to our ships that pull into the places that we want to be. I was fired from the position for refusing EUA products, emergency use authorized products, including testing. Before I was fired, I was banned from my building and told I could not telework. So to go along with what y'all are saying about how we're treating our people, you know, this is, you know, they're doing this to an O5 in the Navy. It's so much worse for the people, much lower without the same level of support and authority. But banned from my building, told I couldn't telework. So I worked out of my car, you know, in the snow for about a week and a half before I was ultimately fired. I'm also the, you know, as Tom mentioned before, I'm also the whistleblower that provided evidence of the Navy's unlawful actions to federal court. That was the key piece of evidence that won the Navy the class-wide injunction, so they cannot fire any more of us. And so I brought today to you, Greg, something of an exclusive, something I'm going to discuss, something that has not been released yet anywhere else or discussed in any other forum.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And so it's from the court case that we were just alluding to in Texas, in Judge O'Connor's court. But there was a deposition last month, June 30th, of the Vice Chief of Naval Operations. That's Admiral, it's four-star Admiral Lesher. He had a testimony, a deposition before the court or before the prosecutor and the defense attorneys anyway. And under oath, he noted that there are 7,000 get my notes here, 7,000 gapped operational billets at sea in the Navy right now. You know, so we're going to speak a little bit about the issues we're having with retention and recruiting. We have 250 ships right now. So the 7,000 person gap, billet gap, comes out to about roughly, you know, 30 billets per ship that we're not filling. And some of our smaller ships, the destroyers, the cruisers, that's a significant portion of the crew. We have a big issue here. And then he was asked, under oath, based on your experience organizing, training, and equipping the forces, do you think that kicking out the 4,000 sailors who have religious beliefs that preclude them from getting the vaccine, do you think that's an acceptable loss to the Navy? His answer to that was that would be a hard loss to the Navy. This is the number two person in the Navy that is going full speed toward our own destruction. And so, you know, frankly, and I've got an anecdotal story to tell you in a minute about a sailor that I got a chance to discuss his experience at boot camp right now, but we are self-imploding. And Tom's exactly right about where we're headed with this and why this is such a big deal. If we don't stop this, we're going to be in a position where we're not going to be able to defend ourselves.
Is that the point?
It's not for me to judge. I can only sit here and
what is for me
to fight for what is right and true.
I make judgments all the time. I'm sorry, go ahead. But, you know, well, think about it. I mean, if you're still in the service and you can't express an opinion on any particular thing or you don't want to, that's fine. I understand that. I'll say it. I think this is nuts because what they're doing, first of all, how many people have died of COVID, not with it, but from it in the military? Captain Tom, do you know you have any stats on that?
I can tell you right now, I don't have the exact statistics, but very few. And not
okay.
enough to
the last
warrant
I looked
them.
It up. Sorry, just gonna interrupt. The last I looked it up, it was
92 service people of approximately what, 2 million people in the service right now? I'm just guessing.
Yes, about 2.1.
92 out of 2.1 million over since 2020. I mean, you probably have more dives in car accidents in the military or falls.
And to provide some clarification, that number may not even be those who died of COVID, as you say. Those are the reported numbers of those who died with COVID. I don't think there's any further breakdown of that number.
The rough approximation is 5% of those that died with COVID actually died from COVID, because usually you're talking about four comorbidities. So if you take 5%, now we're talking military, who's generally healthier. We're talking younger people, healthier people, better physical conditioning than almost anybody else in the country. I would say that's probably closer to 1% or 2% of those who died with COVID actually died from COVID. So what's 1% of 90? One? Okay. We're talking about one person in the military, maybe two of those 92 actually died from COVID? And we're taking one or two deaths. Now, how many people died from the shot? Heart attacks, myocarditis, brain hemorrhages, all the horrible things that are happening because of this jab.
Yeah, it's significant, a significant problem. And I just looked up the updated number. It's actually 95 as of today. 95 military people have died from this. And over the course of all of 2020 and all of 2021, do you know how many suicides there were in the service? Over 1,000.
Wow.
There were over, so, I think the number was 1,006 suicides.
Mm-hmm.
Skyrocketed back in 2019, 2020, and when I was back at the squadron, I personally had to author an order to update the squadron suicide prevention order for the Marines and sailors we had out of Whiting Field. But it was significant enough that higher air boss directed everyone update their orders and have a plan for everyone during COVID and how they can get help.
Do you have any insight as to why these suicides are happening? Why are people deciding this is their only option? We're talking about young, healthy people serving their country, doing something incredibly valuable, you know, with a bunch of other young, healthy people around them, you know, that are also doing the same thing. I mean, there's a camaraderie in the military. I didn't serve, so, you know, you can speak to it better than I can. But there's camaraderie there that I think this is one of the lowest suicide groups in the country, and it's one of the highest. Do you have any insights?
Let me share a story with you. I've got a great one. That will absolutely, you know, bring this one home. So my brother is a chief on a submarine out of Norfolk. He has a sailor that works for him, and I was just talking to him a couple weeks ago about this. And when we talked, he had buried his wife. This junior sailor had buried his wife 2 days before, and they were scheduled to get underway 3 days from then. The manning is so bad on our ships, and they continue, the leaders in the Navy continue to not say no to the people above them and do whatever it takes to get underway, to execute missions, to make sure that requirements are met. They are riding the sailors and squeezing every last drop of effort, energy, and blood from the sailors to get there. And so in the case of this young junior sailor, the command tried to force him to get underway 3 days after burying his wife. And, like, it's just unconscionable. They had to go above the head of that commanding officer to the squadron level. And I think ultimately this poor sailor had to say, look, if I go, I'm not, like, I'm a suicide risk. I'm telling you right now, I cannot handle this. And that's what it took for him not to get underway with that submarine. And this kind of stuff happens everywhere, all over the place, and it is bad. But it's an anecdotal story. But it is the kind of thing that's happening all over the place in the service.
We think of the suicide as mostly folks coming back from, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan, places like that, after the horrors they're seeing. But that's not the case. We're talking about active duty military that may have never been in combat, that are just serving just regular duty, that are committing suicide. Is that what you're saying? I just want to make sure.
Absolutely. Yes.
Why?
The leaders do not care about work-life balance with service members. I now trust, by the way, with everything going on with COVID and being coerced into taking jabs, the trust is not there. I'll share one more story to hammer it home.
Feel free.
In Hawaii,
this is great.
You heard,
I love this group.
In Hawaii, you heard about the issue with the oil spill, the fuel oil that contaminated the
water.
I'm not really okay. So
that one. Go ahead.
I think this was back in May, but over 1,600 gallons of fuel was spilled by the Navy and contaminated the water at a base in Hawaii. The commanding officer of that base told everybody everything is fine. He's sending email to everybody under his command and to dependents or letting dependents know it's fine to drink the water. Nothing is wrong here. Everything's great. Well, thousands of service members and dependents got sick, destroyed lives. Some of them have never been healed. I even believe there are some deaths involved in this situation. Well, that commanding officer in 06, he retired recently. And you know what we gave him? We awarded him a Legion of Merit, one of the highest awards you can get in the Naval Service. No discussion about what he did, lying to everybody, destroying lives of people under his charge. This kind of thing, I mean, this is why we're having issues with suicide. This is why we're having issues with retention. It's why we're having issues, you know, recruiting. People don't want to tell their kids, yeah, you know, join that institution. No, the institution needs to be returned back to following the Constitution, following the law, and taking care of people, and you know, the leaders taking care of people under their command.
Yeah. You know, this would be something that you folks would, I don't know how to fix this. Kevin, I'll get to you in just a second here. But what we do here
is this
is the only show in the world that actually writes citizen legislation, you know, and the two big ones that would concern you most likely are the ones I gave to Tom, I guess, yesterday. So you probably haven't a chance to take a good look at them. We put full product liability back on vaccine makers, and we take big tech and make their liability immunity from what people post conditional on them not touching anything anybody posts. I don't know how to do this, but I think it would be something that we probably should do. And I've been in touch with Colonel Doug McGregor, and I have a friend that knows him as a possible advisor to this as well. I know the reforms he wants to do. But we need to start legislating a new way to run the military. And it should come from people who've been in the military who want to write these laws that we can then submit to Congress and say, look, you guys are doing this all wrong. You're losing people. We're not safe. You know, the biggest threat to national security is our own government. You know, this COVID thing is insane. The jab is the threat, not COVID. COVID, we just proved, is no threat at all. You know, we do that on our greatest doctors panel. Tom was on it a few weeks ago. But Dr. Mikovits, Artis, Thorpe, Marble, and John Cullen, the data expert who created the COVID map for Johns Hopkins University. We've got some amazing people that participate in Action Radio. That is the problem. The policy is the problem. The mandate is the problem. And this goes back to Gulf War syndrome. And you'd think they would have learned then. But they didn't. They're coming back with exactly the same problem and probably for the same purpose, to weed out people that are not going to do anything that they're ordered to do.
So if you're still right with,
yeah, think about it. We'll talk later about this. I'll talk to Tom Stewart about this a little bit later, give you a chance to think about it. But if you want to engage in that kind of a thing, once you're out of the military, probably, because I don't think you can do it when you're in, it would be, I think, a value to this country to restructure the military the way that you guys know it should be restructured. Who wants to speak next?
Catherine here.
Catherine, go ahead.
I'm glad we're having this. Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm glad we're having this conversation because it's really the formalities that are deadly. It's the formalities and the lower enlisted, even the staff enlisted, and you know, the officers. I think it's rampant that we can see through the formalities of, you know, we want to promote your morale. You know, you're here because we care about you and everything. And then we see, and even prior, you know, prior to COVID, I kind of came into the military at a interesting time, I guess, whenever they were reshaping boot camp and everything. But just seeing the leaders say one thing and then kind of acting in their own self-interest to further their career, further the, dare I say, bureaucracy, it's really the formalities is what you know, kills people. You just see the leaders that you entrusted your lives to, your whole life, or at least 4 years, right? 4 years of your life, to not even really caring. And again, just kind of acting out of the furthering of their career or to protect their buddies, you know, up at the top. And that's exactly what we're seeing here in my case, because I brought up, plenty of issues to my chain of command and say, hey, this guy in your chain of command is doing the wrong thing. You know, can you fix it? Can you be a leader? Can you fulfill the description of your billet as a commanding officer, as an 04 and 05, to protect me, your Marine? And I'm not asking for special treatment. I'm just asking for what I'm afforded, you know, under the Constitution kind of thing. And then we just see them fall. We see it fall on deaf ears. We see them say, oh, well, your complaint doesn't fit the description of what the complaint needs to be, so I can't accommodate it. And just really things that are out of pocket that they can do, they just choose not to. That's my two cents on it.
Oh, no, it sounds like it's become a giant bureaucracy, the worst of a government bureaucracy. And this is not what you joined the military for. I detect a real strong sense on all your parts of betrayal. I mean, complete betrayal.
Great.
You know, you went in willing. Yeah. Go ahead. Wants to take that up.
Yeah,
I'd say this just comes down to simple troop leadership, and it's not happening all the way from the field grade ranks, company grade ranks, and down at the NCO level. And my personal thoughts on this whole issue is this could have been stomped out in a conference room up in Washington, D.C., and it never would have seen the light of day, but instead they've gone full speed ahead, and we were told the same thing down in Pensacola. You're all grounded back in September. This is just policy. Oh, wait, we didn't even get an in-brief from the executive officer or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. We all got pulled aside a couple months later. But, I didn't feel like there was any genuine concern amongst my leadership at Marine Aviation Training Support Group 21 when this whole thing went down. It was, you're grounded. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do about it. And we're just going to follow the company line. And that is happening Marine Corps-wide, like Captain drags out. And it's even worse down at the junior ranks right now because, you need leaders that are thinking. And when I was a lieutenant, we had guys, didn't matter what your military occupational specialty was, you had this thing called the Strategic Lance Corporal. And if you're a lieutenant sent to whatever country you were on an individual logment billet and a Lance Corporal goes out in a village and does something positive, it'll impact the campaign. Now, if you have a handful of Lance Corporals go out in the village and do something dumb, you as a lieutenant, it's your fault. You're responsible for those guys, their successes and failures, and you own that. And right now, that premise is not present in our ranks.
Do you have any whistleblower provisions in the military, like corporations and government have? Well, the VA sort of has. We actually wrote a bill that gives real protection to VA whistleblowers. That's sitting in the Veterans Committee. It's been there for years. Do you have any kind of whistleblower provisions? Is there any protection for people that point out these horrible things that are going wrong? Or no?
So yes, Commander Green again. Yes, we do have those. And those are
okay.
Those are coming from law, from Title 10, Section 1034. And they are distributed into all the regulations of all the services. They're supposed to be whistleblowers are supposed to be protected. There's specific things that preclude retaliation, retribution, things like that. But what we're seeing has happened in my own case. It's happened in several other high-profile cases. Take Dr. Teresa Long, for example, Lieutenant Colonel Long, continuing to this day to be retaliated against, ostracized, excluded, and basically taken to the mat daily over things that, frankly, we wouldn't be harassing a junior sailor or, a junior service member over. So it's continuing to happen. They're disregarding the law. They're disregarding military regulations. But we're getting that top down.
Well, where are the judges? You've got one judge that stopped the Air Force officers from being kicked out, or I don't know, it's the whole Air Force. He had another judge that overturned the mask mandate. Where are the judges? Where are the judges that represent the country? Can't they overturn this ridiculous mandate, especially since we know it doesn't work? COVID shots don't work. Deborah Birx just got up and all of the news that's being quoted. She says, well, we kind of overplayed the vaccine thing a little bit. Well, thanks for admitting that. To me, that's evidence. The fact that Brandon got COVID after, all the jabs you can get proves it doesn't work. Please. The only people getting COVID now are those that have had the jab. If you don't want COVID, don't get jabbed. seems like it's fine.
Deborah Birch, things go.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's they won't. You know, it's like, hey, she admits they don't work, but we have destroyed livelihoods in both public and private sectors of society over this mandate, and there will be consequences and repercussions. We see through that, I think, over the years throughout lawsuits. But one of the things I will kind of change gears here, we got the NBA Act for 2023-24. Basically eliminates the time limit of mandatory characterizations of administrative discharge of certain members on the basis of failure to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. That's covered in here, as well as, you know, my airframe. They're gonna fund the 53 and come out ways to get the CH-53 kilo online. One thing of significance that Commander Green mentioned was the Red Hill. The name of that facility is the Red Hill Fuel Facility out in Hawaii. And this is specifically addressed. That commander out in Hawaii did such a great job. His fuel leak issue is now being addressed in the NDA Act for fiscal year 2023. And all those facilities out in Hawaii are being defueled from Red Hill right now. And they're going to have to find a way to get fuel on that.
Perfectly safe. No problem with the accident, but we're going to take the fuel out anyway. Well, that's an admission of guilt. Can I bring up Camp Lejeune, which is all over social media? Every law firm in the country is like, if you've been injured by Camp Lejeune water from 1957 to 83 or whatever it is, call us. We'll get you money. What's going on there?
I think we're going to see more cases like that pop up here in the next few years.
Okay.
You know, we'll see what it's related to, but I'm pretty sure some of these bills I just mentioned, they're covering the burning of batteries and proper disposal of batteries, electric vehicles. Yes, electric vehicles. They want electric vehicles now for military in this new NDA Act. The one I will mention with the Americans Act that kind of covers this, basically the Americans Act is going to prevent them from punishing service members that have did not want to take the COVID vaccine, and that's the one they need to vote on after this that's going to bolster Section 524 of the recent NDA Act that was published. But if you're listening to this,
let's get our acronyms straight. Yeah, so you got NDA, National Defense Act?
Yes, for FY 2023.
Okay. National Defense Authorization Act.
Yes.
So if you want to look it up, all right, National Defense Authorization Act. And what was the other one you were mentioning? There's a second act, the National American something or other. I mean, I just want to make sure we get these. Captain Tom? You're looking
the Americans
Act.
Yeah.
What is the American? That's new to me.
Yeah, the Americans Act is basically going to prevent any negative consequences from for service members that have been discharged over the mandate, and that's going to further bolster this this section in the National Defense Authorization Act, the most recent one.
Who's sponsoring
Greg, it's probably helpful to understand. The NDAA is an annual thing that has to occur every year. It is the military strategy, including all military budget items, and it's every year.
Okay.
It has to be done. Although we are encouraging, we're in communications with certain members of Congress and their staff. We're encouraging some of them stand up and say no. Say we're going to defund the military over this. And so far, not a whole lot of representatives are interested in doing that. But if the NDAA is not signed, the military is defunded each year.
So
they
try
to
put
legislation into the NDAA.
Did it pass this year or no? Or is it still under consideration?
It hasn't passed yet for 23.
Has not,
oh, okay.
But was shut down.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So do you want people to be active on that? Do you have any input on it?
I'll share with you offline who we're talking to.
Okay,
but,
well, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know what you really want to do is start now for next year's, write a new one. You know, it should come from the military and then present that to Congress. Here's what you need to change if you want to keep your military. I don't know if it's too late for this year. I'm not sure, but you know, I'm proactive. It's like I like to take on the big issues and do things with them. I mean, the lawsuits are great, but you got to have the right laws to have the right lawsuits, because the lawyers need the tools to do the job. And so, the better the laws are that will protect the military, the better the lawsuits will be in making sure those laws are enforced.
the key takeaway
yeah,
from
it,
the American
it, it,
Act.
It does come.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
Who wants to speak? First name?
Basically, the Americans Act limitations of punishment on basis of failure to obey to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. That's the one I greatly want to see pass. And that'll stop guys from getting discharged. It gives us everything that we want and stops the prosecution of service members over this vaccine mandate.
Yeah, where's our congressman here in Pensacola? I'm in Milton next to Pensacola. Where's Matt Gaetz on this? He's got more veterans and active duty military in his district than anybody. One would think. He may not want to say it's okay, I understand. I'm trying to get him on the show. But one would think he would be the proponent, one of the biggest leaders on this issue. Can you comment or no? I mean, I understand. I'll take silence as no.
This is fair enough. Now, last I heard, he was involved in it, but how deep, you know, time will only tell. But, yeah, he is tracking the veterans getting discharged in his district.
Okay, good. Well, that's something. Well, yeah, we can talk off the air about who the leaders are, and I'll try and get him on the show, too. So Tom Stewart, we got about 8 minutes left. But we can go a little bit over if anybody wants to stick around for a few minutes. What haven't we covered? What should we be talking about? And this podcast will be available about 10 minutes after the show, so you can share it with everybody from there. Tom has the exact link. You can just go to our regular website, blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction, and you'll find the podcast and be able to share this. But, Tom, have we missed anything that you wanted to cover?
Only thing I would leave your listeners with is please take a moment to call the Congressional Switchboard. The House of Representatives is 202-225-3121. And for the Senate, it's 202-224-3121. And tell them to vote yes on the Americans Act to prevent this mandate from further harming our service members.
Probably going to
do
a show on
get
this.
It in private sectors of society.
Yeah. Well, if any of you want to come back tomorrow, we have our World's Greatest Doctors panel from 10 a.m. Central Time to 1 p.m. Again, Dr. Mikovits, Thorpe, Artis, Marble, John Cullen. Tom's been on with the panel. Anybody else wants to join us, feel free. We'll have the Skype line active. Catherine, if you want to join us too. Anything else you guys? Let's go through our list. Captain Shower, haven't heard from you for a bit. I don't have your first name written here. That's where you get the full title. What do you want to
Jonathan,
you want to leave
then,
us?
Yeah.
Jonathan, there we go.
So, okay, you know, one of the things that – one of my can you hear me?
Yep, you're fine.
Okay, good. One of the things I'd just like to say to close it out is, you know, people are going through hardships. You know, we discussed possible legislation. We talked about all sorts of issues. I can't say it enough. Suicide is often such an oversimplified issue. But you know, one thing that I desire for everybody to have in this situation, whether you're, you know, on this side of the vaccine mandate, or whether this isn't what's bothering you, I desire for everyone to have hope. I believe that in a lot of ways that is an underlying cause for many of the suicides. And you can imagine some of these junior enlisted folks, even senior enlisted folks, if they've put their faith in the military system, they may be losing hope. And I think in a lot of ways that is what at least contributes, if not leads towards the suicides. But folks out there are often being disconnected from others that are going through this. This isn't an issue that is obvious. You know, they haven't forced us to wear, you know, identifying badges just yet. So nobody really knows who else is going through this with you unless you're really intentional in reaching out to those around you to try to figure out who's on your side and who's with you. And that can be really difficult, especially in the military. But there are people out there. I mean, you're hearing from a couple of us here. There are groups on all sorts of different social media platforms where people can connect. And it may seem like at this point, the military has been dealing with this for almost a year since the mandate started to come down last August. And it may seem like everybody would have somebody they found, but that's not the case. I find people almost every other day through social media groups that are still, you know, standing in their beliefs all alone. And that's just a shame. You know, I would hope that any military leaders hearing this would try to connect those people that are on the other side of them to somebody friendly. You know, not all chaplains have been friendly on this issue, unfortunately, but there are good chaplains out there. Not all JAGs have been friendly on this issue. There are good JAGs out there. There are people from all backgrounds that have come together to help support and encourage one another right now. And so, you know, if you need some of that, if you happen to be listening to this and you haven't been connected to other groups, you know, I would say continue to try to find some. Truthforhealth.org, the Truth for Health Foundation, has been very active in helping military members. You can connect to some others through there. Reach out to them. Reach out for Stand With Warriors. You know, if you're on social media, look for Terminal CWO and other groups that are active in this issue and find somebody. Don't do this alone because you're not alone. I hope they'd hear that, and I hope they'd reach out so that they can find those who can support them.
There's some great groups out there. Maybe not the non-traditional. People think, you know, the VFW and the American Legion, things like that. But this is a much more of a modern problem. It seems like the newer groups, like the ones you mentioned. So feel free. You've got Truth for Health, Stand with Warriors, any of these groups that you think are helpful, put them on the podcast, and people, if they missed the first time, they can always listen again and catch the names. So any other groups you think are valuable. This is incredibly important that people do connect. I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. So, yeah. Do you want to add any other groups or anything? Or do you have contact information?
Me personally, I don't put myself out there. I can be connected. If somebody wants to get a message to me, I believe they could get a message to me through either Stand With Warriors or Truth for Health Foundation. I don't advertise any personal social media. I've hated that social media for a long time, but I've been forced into that realm to connect to other people. And so, you know, in my case, I had to do something that was originally uncomfortable because I knew that connecting to others was important. I hope people would take that step as well. Send an email to Truth for Health. You can get connected to myself, and we can go from there, and we can find people to support whoever it is.
Listen, I really, really appreciate and admire what you do. Congratulations. I think this is one of the most pressing problems, and we don't talk about it enough, and we need to solve it, not just talk about it. I want to go to Commander Rob Green and Catherine.
Thanks, Red
Purple, and then to Tom. No, I appreciate this. You guys have been fabulous. You're always welcome on the show. You don't need an invitation. So if you want to join us, especially on the doctor's panel, feel free. Let's go to Rob Green, Catherine Arnett, and then Captain Tom. I'll let you close it out. Rob, closing statement, any contact information, any useful places, feel free. Take all the time you want.
Yeah, thanks. Real quick for me. Hopefully what I say right now gives everybody a little pause, right? We're going to win or lose this fight in the near term over the vaccine mandate and the general purge of conscientious people in the military. What I'm super concerned about, looking strategically, is the 10 years from now, what's going to happen to the military. If we are not successful in keeping people who will follow their conscience in the service. I'll tell a really quick story about a young man named Owen, who I had the great honor of debriefing. He served honorably for 39 days. He signed up, and this was just this past year. He signed up, did the delay entry program before the vaccine mandate. And he started after the vaccine mandate. And he was in boot camp and got ridiculous amounts of coercion, you know, safe and effective yelled at him. But he had a religious objection, a conscientious objection to taking the vaccine. He told me, most of the people around him caved. Most of the people around him went along with this. They were taped on the ground, like stay in your box, like that kind of stuff, in a big bay of like 96 people. I mean, all kinds of stuff. And then pulled into offices randomly to get yelled at about, you know, why they're not going along with this. He requested, he was lied to by his detailers, that he could even file a religious accommodation request, which he has a right to do. He requested multiple times to file that while he was in boot camp. He asked for a chaplain. Chaplain Schauer, I wish that you were there. He asked for a chaplain, was denied access to a chaplain, which is completely against regulations. And ultimately, I just want to tell you, this young man stuck to his conscience. He did not go along with this. He ultimately was kicked out. That young man served honorably for 39 days, and he is the kind of person that I want in one of my units, but we are weeding them out. And so 10 years from now, 20 years from now, we may have a really big problem if we don't win this fight right now.
Agreed. Agreed, absolutely. That's an amazing story. I want to get all the folks that I don't know what we should do, but all the people that left need to, for conscience, for constitution, need to get together and form some kind of an organization. Probably the ones that are going to change the military are you folks, you know, and not from in the military, but from outside the military when that time comes. Catherine, again, we can run over time. I found out recently, so feel free. Rob Green, did you have any contact information or groups you want to send people to?
I'll just echo Chaplain Shatter and I have worked together for many months. So I'll echo his truthforhealth.org and Stand Warriors are the great organizations.
That's good. Well, that's what I like to do. Always have a place where people can go for more. Catherine, feel free.
Yes, sir. Thank you. First of all, thanks for having me on again. I know I didn't talk much. Personally, I've just kind of been reveling in hearing y'all talk because here in Iwakuni, it's pretty lonely out here. So just hearing
we'll
some of the freedom fighters.
I'd love to have a Japan report. You know, I'm serious. If you're looking for a journalism career, you know, let's get it started here. I'm perfectly serious about this. If you want to call us regularly on the Skype line with a report from Japan, get me on social media. Let's talk off the air. Let's figure this out. I'm game. That's how we do things around here.
Yeah,
very fast.
Well, awesome. Thanks, Greg. Okay. And kind of piggybacking off of what the two gentlemen before me said, with Owen, and it's, you know, it's not to toot my own horn or anything, but it's really a matter of leadership. You know, whoever is, you know, at this stage kind of combating the separation process or, you know, just the vaccine itself, that is the leadership that we need. And unfortunately, that's the leadership that's getting weeded out. You know, an E3 enlisted side going against an O8, you know, kind of asinine orders, dare I say, challenging that. And, you know, that's not for everybody, but that is the kind of leader that you know, I would wish that would stay in the military. So whoever else is holding the line, I hope they continue holding the line. But overall, I just wanted to say thank you, and it's really, really a pleasure hearing all you freedom fighters hold the line and stick up for what's right.
Yeah, that is so true. Let me give you all a quick round of applause here because you had incredible, incredible work here. So this is for all of you. See all the fun we have here? Captain Tom Stewart. Oh, wait a minute, Catherine, did you have groups or anything you wanted to give for contact?
Truth for Health is a great resource. I was able to get in touch with Dr. Vliet and do a podcast with her. I would hope that people would want to reach out to myself as well. I'm very active on social media. I'm on Telegram. I'm on Signal. I'm on Facebook even. So if anyone wants to reach out to me, I can get you connected with a bunch of group chats, a bunch of groups that post regularly with this. Also, if you're listening to Greg, you have his contact. He can get in contact with me and get you my email, get you my number, or whatever you need.
Well, you're getting a Facebook app request about 10 seconds after the show ends. I'm at greg@writeyourlaws.com. Right. That's the easiest way to get hold of me, but we're definitely going to chat. I want a Japan report. I'm serious.
Okay.
I think it would be great. Yeah.
Okay. I can absolutely do that. I have plenty of insight to share.
Well, yeah, you can report anything you want. Like I say, once you're on, you know, we've got the Skype line. Ever since we put the live Skype line in, we have had calls from different places around the world, Israel, Singapore. We had one call from Beijing before we got it, and that person never called back, fortunately, so I'm not sure what happened to them. That's an interesting story. They let us run a little bit over time, which I just found out, which is great. Thanks, Catherine. Captain Tom Stewart, feel free.
Thank you.
Your closing comments. Oh, no, I appreciate it.
I'd like to thank all my fellow warfighters for coming on today. First off, I greatly appreciate you guys and anyone else out there listening to this that's in our similar situation. But yeah, I think Catherine hit the nail on the head. We need critical thinkers. Doesn't matter what rank they are. And, like, I agree, you know, some of these orders coming down straight from the 08 level are absolutely insane. And the level of coercion our troops are going through right now is unprecedented. But, yeah, honor and a pleasure as always, Greg. Greatly appreciate your time and letting us come on. And for all you guys out there listening down at Hulbert, Eglin, dealing with the same stuff we're dealing with, NAS Pensacola, stay in the attack. Our country depends on it.
Do you have any same for these groups? You got Truth for Health Foundation and Stand With Warriors or any other resources for people you want to mention?
Truth for Health's great. Stand With Warriors as well. Reach out to me, anyone going through this thing, public or private sector. TJStewart53@outlook.com.
There you go. And that's for those that missed it, just get the podcast, which will be available in a little bit. Tom, you know what you have to do to get on the show. You know, just ask. It's that simple. You need time.
Greatly appreciate it.
It's no problem at all. This is too important. And we need to talk. We need to strategize, probably off the air a little bit, about how that we need to restructure and create a better military with better legislation that will force these people to actually do the right thing, at least so we can hope.
Well, I think
thank you.
Getting the right people in office is going to be a huge step to that. And like you said, getting the legislation drafted that's going to prevent stuff like this that we're dealing with from happening ever again.
Yeah, yeah. I know that's a new concept to some of you, but the whole point of this show is to write the laws that we consent to be governed by. Doesn't guarantee they're going to pass. We still go through the legislative process. We follow the Constitution. That's my oath as an American. That's how we work. But it doesn't mean we can't, you know, write the laws that set us free as opposed to letting the laws that oppress us stay on the books. Thank you all. Let's do it again soon. We can keep this panel together if you want and figure a time to meet.
Thank you.
2-3 weeks, 1 month from now, whatever you think, whatever is best. Thank you, Tom, for bringing these folks here.
Thank
all
you.
All right.
Great. So we'll do.
Yep, you're welcome. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Anybody else? Okay, sounds good. All right, let me end here. We'll pick this up tomorrow. Now, tomorrow is our special panel that starts at 10 o'clock in the morning Central Time to 1 p.m. with Drs. Mikovits, Artis, Thorpe, Marble, and our data expert, John Cullen, and anybody else that drops in, like Captain Tom, who's been on once and is always, and all of you are welcome on the show anytime. Greg Penglis for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Our legislative website is www.writeyourlaws.com, WriteYourLaws. You can contribute at paypal.com/paypalme/actionradio. But I'm looking for some major corporate sponsors because we're taking this national and worldwide as we teach the world to write the laws that people consent to be governed by. Back tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning Central Time.